about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Hola. Bonjour. Ni hao.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar. It tastes less fattening because it's European dessert. And then I just like some of the syrup, flan syrup.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you.
The man who'd make his living playing that song is lower down than a snake's belly. Good people should protest to the Federal Communications Commission against issuing a license to any station which would play such trash. There may be some idiot who thinks this will make a better community, but decent people resent such.
And now...
Would you say that it's a bonus to have a wife that has two vaginas?
Most definitely.
Our feature presentation.
Would you say that that is a bonus, that that is better than one?
I would think so.
I'm going to go with yes.
No? Yeah.
I don't think it makes much difference,
really.
Why
do you say no, Mike?
I mean...
How many do you need?
Yeah, exactly.
And I doubt they're very different.
If I could have another penis put on, then I'd be good.
And I also think the novelty would wear off. You know?
I think so, too.
Look, guys, I mean, maybe you're using them differently than I am, but I wear them out. I mean, it would be a break
please.
For the lady to have someplace else to work. You know
recovery
what I mean?
Recovery time?
Go on. Yeah. It's just like any other kind of workout. Mike, you know that, man. You can't work on the same part of your body all the time. You've got to give it a break and work on something else,
that's
and
true.
This would allow that to happen.
Muscle confusion.
That's all I'm saying. By the way, speaking of vaginas, can Miss Cleo come back in here?
Yeah!
Is she too busy right now?
I don't know.
Miss Cleo, she drives me. Miss Cleo is one of these chicks who complains all the time about not having a boy, not having any sex.
Right.
And then won't have sex.
Well, there's that, sure.
What's that about?
If that's what you're saying.
I'm trying to get her to commit to giving it up on Friday night because it's the Kevin and Bean last call singles party, right? She's like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, look, it's up to you. You can't do both. You can't complain about not having sex and then not have sex.
You can't ask her to commit before she has any idea who she's going to meet
well,
there.
Well, you can ask.
Yeah, but what girl's going to do that?
A whore.
And
okay,
Cleo is not
that's
a whore.
The issue.
Right, but we're saying don't give up on
look,
being a whore
I,
quite so easily.
She yeah. said, I don't know. She didn't say no, but you can't just say yes.
Don't make
no matter
that decision
what
all
I
flip
meet.
It and whatnot. Like, there might not be some relevance and some goodness to being a whore.
Look, Miss Cleo.
You know?
I've always just been that good girl.
Right.
How many times have you heard us
first
say
of
on
all,
the
you're
show
not that good. Hey.
How many times have you heard us say lower your standards, okay? That's first of all, I don't know what this imaginary Mr. Right is that you're looking for.
It's not even Mr. Right. I've always had problems though having sex with someone I'm not in a relationship with.
Well, again,
so,
everything gets better with practice.
Factor.
That's
practice,
right.
Practice. You know what Kobe Bryant does? Shoots a lot of shots when he's not playing in a game.
Yeah.
And here's another way to look at it. Let's say you're hungry and it's 6 o'clock, okay?
Uh-huh.
And you don't know what you want yet, but you know that you're hungry and at some point you're going to get some dinner. You're out driving around. You drive by restaurant A and you go, yeah, I don't really feel like that. You drive by restaurant B and you go, yeah, I'm not really in the mood for that. You drive by restaurant C and you go, I don't really like that. And, well, at some point you're going to have to just pick something and eat. It may not be your first choice. It may not be the best meal you ever had in your life. It may not be exactly what you want, but you've got to eat. That's
point,
my point.
At some point, here's what you say to yourself. The next restaurant I come to, I'm going
right.
to have some food.
That's right. Because it's late, and I'm hungry, and I have to eat. So maybe I'm not. Maybe I don't dig the Panda Express, but that's what's next.
Kind of like a last call. Oh!
Wow.
Wow, now maybe I don't know if any guys will have sex with her.
Put it in the file.
Yeah.
I don't get a file, come on.
Oh, you get a file.
Well, then you just... I'm just saying, you don't have the right attitude going into the singles party, okay?
Hey, look, I never said no, did I, Bean?
No.
What was my answer? I said, I don't
He's
know.
He's infuriated that you won't commit to
that he won't
it.
Say, that she won't say yes.
Infuriated.
Only because it seems like months go by where Miss Cleo sounds like, oh, I wish I were having sex, but I'm not, or I don't really have a boyfriend, or I don't have this, or I don't do that. You know what I'm saying? It's just, if she didn't care, then I wouldn't care about Friday night. But she can't be
but
that
I didn't
way.
Come out and say it. You guys asked me about it. It's That's not like right. I'm moping around saying, oh, I'm not getting any. God dang it.
No, wait, she is.
No, I'm not.
Yes.
She is. That's the point. And look. Lisa's right. I mean, we can't expect Cleo to just commit to having sex with someone on any given
okay.
day.
But, I'm saying let's not dismiss that too quickly.
But Bean has a point in that if Cleo's going to walk around all the time going, oh, I just need men. I need some type. And she does, and we always have to hear about how there's this dearth of masculinity in her life. If she's going to go around doing that, then Bean has every right to say, well, then just put up or shut up. Because
that's
she's not just some random girl. She is the girl letting us all know that she is barren.
Not sure barren's the right word.
No, I meant that her love garden has not been tended to.
Right. Right.
I'm just saying one or the other. That's all I'm saying, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Very
good. I don't know.
I don't know. All right.
Okay, bye.
Time for your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. It's Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew.
Sorry, you must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
See, we have the answers to many of life's questions here on the Kevin and Bean Show. All you have to do is ask and follow our advice. That's
all. I'm never asking you anything.
Here's the thing about our advice. No one follows it.
probably
rightfully so. But
what's that about? You're crashing your ship into the rocks and we're a lighthouse. All we're saying is just look over here every once in a while, all right? All right, 1-800-520-1067. How about a copy of EA's newest video game? It's called Dante's Inferno. I'm sure you've heard about it, and it looks awesome. Now available in stores. That's what you get for calling Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew. What about John on line one while we're talking about hooking up? Hey, John, thanks for calling. Thanks for hanging on. What It Do?
What It Do, Nephew? Baby Boo?
What It Do?
What's going on?
Hey, okay, this is my internet dating experience.
All right.
I just finished an 18-year marriage, got that finished up last month.
Wrap that up.
Yeah, easy come, easy go. You know, that happens.
Sure.
18 years, whatever.
Yeah, you know, we got some plates out of it, I think. I met this lady online. She emailed me like 10 minutes after I signed up for this dating website. And we talked for an hour. We sent text messages. We sent dirty text messages. We met in a parking lot and made out. That was
all right. All right.
She comes up to my house on a pretense to help me move, and we never got out of the house. So I showed her the house. Here's the living room. These are the cats. That's the kitchen.
Here's the bed.
Up to the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Took her clothes off. She's just laughing. It's like, you don't do this all the time, right? She goes, pretty much no. 2 hours. It was great.
Yeah.
3 to 5 in the morning. Then we
okay. Let me work on the timeline here. So from the time that you first chatted with her the day you signed up for the dating site until the time she came over to help you move, how many days or weeks was that?
It was Monday that I signed up, but it was Thursday that we spoke. Friday we made out. Sunday we were doing it.
All right.
Okay. Wow. Less
and
than
then
a week.
He says, you don't do this all the time, do you?
Yeah. You didn't.
What's
say,
wrong with you?
Did you ask her that? You don't do this all the time?
Yes. And
you're an ass.
What was kind of leading me up to, you know, that it was going to happen was the way that the text messages degenerated
right,
so quickly. And
of course.
Built. And it's like, okay, this is good for me.
All right. What's the closer?
She had a penis?
We've been seeing each other for 2 months and we're looking for houses.
What?
You're
moving in
lot.
With her? I thought she was going to charge you. You're moving in with her?
I was kind of skittish because last year's dating experience ended poorly.
Right.
And dude, why are you moving in with someone that you've been dating for 2 months?
I think he's making the right decision.
Everything in common. Well, it's like a third time's a charm. The other two from last summer, and then
that's another good rule of thumb. If it's the third time, just jump in with both feet.
Yeah,
that's great. No, I like it.
All right. You know, well, good luck. Good luck with that, John.
You're making the right decision, and I support you.
2 months moving in, dude. All right. Why don't we try? Let's try Lauren. Change things up on line 5. Calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Lauren. What it do?
Morning, Kevin and Bean. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Well, I was at work, fell, went through a glass window, sliced open my elbow, got 15 stitches, and got no days off.
What?
Yep.
How do you get no days off for that?
They didn't authorize any days off.
Is it a dumbass rule?
Yep.
Huh.
Hey, stupid, you fell at work. You don't get any days off.
Wow.
Like a shark bite. I showed everybody the picture. I'm like, wow, did you get bit by a shark? I was like, nope, fell through glass.
Yeah, just listen. Rule A, if they ask you if you get bit by a shark, say yes.
I did.
It's a way cooler story.
Much better story than I was a dumbass.
I told everybody.
All right, good.
Were they thinking that wherever the stitches were, it did not impact your ability to still do your job? Is that kind of the point?
That's what their point was, and they were really, really wrong.
Yeah. Okay, well, can't you legally just say I need
workers' comp?
Workers'
or
comp?
I told them that every time I went, because I got hurt at Works, I have to go to the veterinarian that the doctors tell me to go to, and they are.
Wait a second!
Hold on a second! Whoa!
Why'd you have to go to a veterinarian?
That's what I call it, because it's, you know, one of those workers, you know, doctors. So I call them the veterinarians because they.
Is he
like
at
animals.
That site?
They
the
treat you like animals.
Yeah, they don't let you go to your doctor. They make you go to their special doctor.
Okay.
I see.
All right. So you've got your own code. All right.
And, I told them every time. I even said, hey, it's getting worse. Every time I went there, like, oh, okay. And then they gave me like a little bit better painkillers and said, okay, you can go back to work now.
Wow. Tough job. Dude, I think he...
Oh, what just happened?
What just happened?
Wow.
We heard you just say it, and we heard you put it out there.
Okay, thank you. Put him on hold fast. For folks who missed it, he basically said, flip her over, I want a puppy. That's what he said. All right, are we out of time? Is that all we got time for?
Yes, we are out of time.
Okay. Bianca, I'm sorry we're not going to be able to get to you, but yes, Captain Phil from The Deadliest Catch did die finally from that stroke. It's very, very sad. Aww. He seemed like a good dude. How freaky is that?
Yeah.
That's pretty freaky.
Didn't know that. Yeah.
I mean, you're healthy and you're doing that kind of work and you risk your life every single day. It's a miracle that you come home and then something completely unrelated just knocks you down as such a young man. Very, very sad. Sorry to hear about that.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
Talking about our singles party. We have tickets. The singles party is this Friday night. Kevin and Bean's last call singles party. So if you'd like to go, as a matter of fact, about a half hour from right now, we're going to start giving away tickets. You want to call around the top of the hour. So that's coming up today. We are going to spin the wheel of bad animal voices.
Yes.
Excited about that. We have a Kevin and Bean instant request we believe you will enjoy. We have Phil Kogan, who is the host of Amazing Race. Starts again on Sunday night.
It's not in 3D. It's not in IMAX. It's not in HD. I can't watch that show.
I'm very upset.
It's not high tech enough.
We also have Daniel Tosh, Tosh.0.
Love him.
Going to talk to him today. And we have Sarah Underwood.
There it is.
Sarah Underwood. Playboy, you know, Playboy Playmate.
Mm-hmm.
If that's your kind of
there
thing.
There it is.
There it is. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat next.
It is, Wednesday already. Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day. What's going on?
I just feel bad for Kevin. That's all. I just feel for the brother. Wish I could help him out. But it's every man for himself around here, Kevin. You know how it is, right? All right. Let's talk about Jersey Shore, shall we?
Yeah.
Please.
We now know that the second season of Jersey Shore will plunk the Guidos and the Guidettes down smack in the middle of Miami Beach. That's where their new house will be. They'll all be living together and partying it up.
Is it still going to be called Jersey Shore?
I'm guessing yes. Inexplicably, it will still be called Jersey Shore. I bet it'll be called Jersey Shore, colon, Miami. That's what I'm guessing.
Then why put Jersey in it?
Because that's where they're from. Yeah.
Will they get the Who to re-record the theme song for them or something?
I don't know.
It'd be cool.
The Mint Lounge is one of the clubs down in Miami that apparently producers have asked if they could shoot inside. TMZ.com has posted a letter from the producers to the club owners, and the actual house where they'll be filming is right off of Lincoln Road in South Beach, and is currently undergoing renovations before they start shooting. They got to put that duck phone in and get other stuff in there, I'm sure, before they get going. So we now know that looks like March they'll start shooting.
You were excluded from the surf and turf night. You were excluded from ravioli night. You were excluded from chicken cutlet night.
Can't wait.
Yeah, speaking of chicken cutlets, I'm sure some Cuban with a snout full of blow is going to gut one of them with a paring knife. I'm looking forward to that episode.
That's true.
It's going to make Snooki getting punched in the face look like a Disney cartoon. They don't know what they're up against. They're not in Jersey anymore when you get down to South Beach. They're going to run across some bad characters down there and things are going to get ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Ronnie's going to be swinging any punches when he gets jumped by a gang full of Cubans.
One shot, bro.
That's right.
He'll learn pretty quickly.
What? You punch? We shoot down here. That's what we do. Say hello to my little friend. Special Al Pacino appearance.
I like
nice.
It.
Katy Perry.
Uh-oh.
is finding that it's not all bells and whistles, love, luck, and lollipops being engaged to Russell Brand.
Giant-sized cans.
Here's the thing about Russell Brand. He's got a hilarious sense of humor.
Right.
Katie is complaining to friends that it doesn't quite have an off switch. He's like that all the time.
Yeah.
That's got to get old.
Yeah.
She's trying to plan a wedding, and every time she asks him a question, she can't get a straight answer out of him regarding the wedding. She asks about the cake, he'll make some crack and come up with some wacky idea. She can't get anything done because he won't give her an answer on anything.
Yeah.
And she's complaining to friends that he's turning the entire production into a big joke. Don't say we didn't warn you, Katy Perry. Oh, he's so cute. Oh, look at him in his Doctor Who scarf.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that he's never put a brush through his hair. Oh, I love he smells like patchouli and old cheese. Mmm. Yeah, it's not so cute anymore, is it, Katy Perry? We told you!
We did warn you.
You know, that she, now that she's, before she pulls the trigger and makes the biggest mistake of her life, Katy Perry should get out of that relationship.
Right.
And now that she's single, she should start dating Charlize Theron. That's my theory.
Oh, all right.
I think they should get together.
That might be the best idea you've ever come up with.
The perfect couple.
My wiener's going crazy and it won't stop.
Congratulations to Jeff Probst. He's got a new contract with the Survivor people. He's got two more seasons yet to do. What are we up to now? How many? The 20th edition of the show.
Wow.
Is the one that premieres tomorrow. Survivor Heroes versus Villains.
So these are like the best contestants from past
these
years?
The famous ones. The ones everyone really loved or really hated on the shows. They're bringing kind of an all-star team together on both sides to play against each other. And this will be the 20th edition of Survivor. Now, I know it hasn't been 20 years. They do a couple a year.
Couple of years.
So, yeah. But I guess it's got to be 11
years? Yeah,
I would think.
12 years, maybe?
I saw the trailer for the upcoming season of Heroes and Villains, and there's some hot chicks in that in that cast.
Yeah. Remember Jerry Manthe? Jerry Manthe's coming back.
Yeah.
When we said her vagina was a portal to Hades.
That's right.
She didn't care for that.
She didn't appreciate it as much
as
we did.
Not a big fan.
Mm-mm.
Do you guys know anyone who still watches Survivor?
No.
Yeah, my wife's a diehard Survivor.
Really?
Fan.
Really?
Has watched every season. She's very excited about tonight. She is... Not her. Let's stop talking about my wife.
Okay.
Jeff is tapped through 2011. So he's got two more editions of the show on his contract. And after that, he'll have to make another decision. But I can't blame him for saying yes. I'm sure he makes giant bank. And it's got to be a fun job.
Is it a month? How long is it shooting?
A month.
I don't know how long they shoot. Might even be long.
3 weeks?
Longer than that.
Oh, longer. Okay.
Yeah. Considering they do the live finale show and everything. So
right.
It's probably a couple-month commitment out of his life, but still. He gets to sleep in the minivan or whatever. He doesn't have to deal with the bugs. And
I don't think it's a minivan.
Yeah, they got a minivan for him. That's part of the new contract.
And he goes all over the world and probably gets a lot of time off while he's there, and they're all out just, eating bugs. He's off doing, sightseeing.
Right. Aerosmith is continuing to look for a new frontman, which I think is a huge mistake on their part. Steven Tyler, of course, legendarily the lead singer for Aerosmith. Apparently, they're in talks with Sammy Hagar.
Oh. No.
Who really? Took over for David Lee Roth when Van Halen was looking for a new frontman. Apparently, he's in the conversation. As is Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
Paul Rodgers, Billy Idol, and Lenny Kravitz. Apparently,
Paul Rodgers took
list.
Over for Queen, remember?
That's right, yeah. Took over for Freddie Mercury. So that's the short list of people that Aerosmith is considering for their new frontman.
Billy Idol is interesting.
It is.
Guys, it's not Aerosmith without Steven Tyler, period. It may be some other band featuring some members of Aerosmith and Sammy Hagar or whoever. It's not Aerosmith.
No,
what if
I
they
agree.
Have a scarf on the microphone stand? Then it is
then
Aerosmith.
Then it is officially Aerosmith, yeah. I'm thinking Roger Daltrey. What's he up to?
Nothing.
with that beautiful voice he showed off at the halftime show, they should snatch him up before someone else does.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Yeah.
I want to hear him hit the high notes on Dream On.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Emma Roberts. She is Julia Roberts' little niece. She is 19 years old. She was Nancy Drew. She's been a bunch of movies. She's in that dog movie you like so much. What is it? Hotel for Dogs. Yeah.
What's that about, Ralph?
I think it's a hotel, and then there's no people in the hotel. It's not a hotel for people.
Mm.
I think dogs go in there, and they have like wacky vending machines where you can press a button and a shoe drops down for you to chew on.
Miss Cleo asked us that at one point.
Yes, she did.
When that movie was coming out. So, what's it about?
Actress Laura Dern is 43 years old today. old-time superstar Robert Wagner. Remember Heart to Heart, that TV series he had?
I do.
Remember it was on.
He was number two in the Austin Powers movies. Remember with that eye patch?
Sure.
Classy actor, 80 years old. And Elizabeth Banks! One of our favorites, Elizabeth Banks.
How about that?
Who, of course, you probably know for all her recent work. You know, she was in Zach and Mary Make a Porno.
Yep.
And she was on Scrubs, of course. She did a guest spot on Modern Family, which was terrific. And she did a movie called Slither back in the day. Remember that?
I don't remember what her role was.
I wish we could talk to her about that.
Now, I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither?
Yeah.
I don't understand the question.
Where are you going with this, Bean?
Who were you in Slither? Did you chase snakes? What did you do back then?
Oh, my.
Yeah, we'll never have her back on the show. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show, Bisbee. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Daniel Tosh on the program today. He has an outstanding show planned tonight that involves an old friend of ours, Denny Blaze, coming back to television.
One of the worst rappers in the history of human civilization.
That's true.
Can't wait to find out how that's going to go. We'll talk to Daniel coming up next hour right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, we turn our attention to this week, and of course, it is Valentine's Day on Sunday, or as many of our listeners call it, Valentine's Day. And once again this year, we are hooking you up with a singles party. It's the Kevin and Bean Last Call Singles Party. We're going back to a great place. They really treated us nice last year. Bardot in Hollywood. Go to BardotHollywood.com if you want to check out this outstanding venue. We're going to be down there on Friday night with a whole bunch of Kevin and Bean listeners who are single and are looking. DJ Omar Khan is going to be there.
DJ Omar Khan.
We got drinks, we got food, we got fun, and we got you at 1-800-520-1067. Time to give away some more tickets for the singles party.
We are going to have our own private Valentine's Day party. Singles only.
Yeah.
Kevin and Bean's
Last Call
Singles Party.
All right, now, one of the things that always happens is there are people who show up to the singles parties and they kind of just hang out and they don't really talk to anybody. They're just there for the party.
Yeah.
So we kind of need people who are willing to walk around and, I don't know, talk, you know, introduce yourself, perhaps have a little conversation. So what we're going to ask you today is the strangest place you pick someone up. It doesn't have to necessarily be for a one-night stand or whatever, but you met somebody at a place that most people wouldn't consider, you know, a place to meet anyone.
Well, we're looking for some initiative. We're looking for somebody who's willing to talk to a member of the opposite sex. Because if you don't, then you got a bunch of people standing around with the person they came with at the party, and that's no good for anybody. So we just want to make sure that you're the type of person who is willing to work a little bit to meet somebody. Why don't we start? I'll give you a perfect example. Why don't we start with our man Corey? Corey is on line 5, calling the Kevin and Bean Show today, and we'll find out under what circumstances he managed to get some digits. Hey, Corey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
Hi, Corey.
Hey, so a good place where I, well, actually not a good place, but the most random place where I've picked up on a girl would be at the emergency room, and actually the psychiatric emergency room, and no, she wasn't a patient. She was another person working there, and I just happened to run into her,
and
we just hit it off, and then she ended up coming back to my house a couple days later.
All right, now, were you working there, or were you there as a patient?
No, I wasn't there as a patient. I was working.
You were working. And she was working, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you guys, so it was just someone. So it's a little less unusual that it happened to be at ER because you guys both worked there. It's not like you were there, you know, waiting for your dad to get admitted or anything.
Actually, no, we've worked for two different companies and just completely ran.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Got it.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds fine.
Sure.
All right.
All right. Hang on, Corey. We'll give away some tickets here and continue to give away some even after we take this off the air because we got plenty to have this year. Let's try Scott on line 2. He is calling the Kevin and Bean Show with a story. I think that – did we just lose him?
Yep, we did.
Scott is coming? He was in the kitchen aisle at a Walmart, and he managed to start up a conversation with somebody.
All right.
That's good.
That's well done, right?
Yeah. What are you buying for your kitchen?
Let's try Anna, line 1, please. Anna, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your story?
Hi, guys. I picked up a guy at a kid's birthday party, actually. I was with my coworker. It was her little daughter's birthday party, and he was there single and no kids around him. So I went up to him and asked him out.
Now, if it was a kid's birthday party, please tell me he was the father of one of the kids.
He turned out to be the father of one of the kids.
Okay,
but
good.
I didn't have any kids around him at the time.
No, so no, no. That's out, that's fine because
we just were wondering about a random guy hanging out around little kids at a park.
I'm just saying, if he doesn't have a kid, you don't want to meet that guy.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't have a kid, but he had a camera, Kevin, and I think that's okay, right?
That's a little scary.
So, Anna, tell me about that, because we were just having a conversation in the office yesterday about how girls generally don't go up and talk to the guys. Like, they don't, they wait for a guy to come to them. Why did you decide to go up and talk to this dude?
Because he was young. I mean, it was an adult party, and he was the only young guy, and I figured maybe he came in with, like, a relative, like, maybe it was one of the relatives.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I didn't really know her family that well. And we started talking. I asked him out. I asked for his number. And then I should have asked for more details. Ended up being waiting for his daughter to get there.
Wow, how about that? And did it turn into anything?
No.
But, that's okay. But
that's okay.
Nice effort. She
did.
She asked for his number. Yeah, I'm impressed.
Yeah, you're in.
Good job, Anna. We'll see you Friday night. Thanks for calling. Let's try Jen, line two, please. Hey, Jen. Thanks for listening to Kevin and Beecher. Thanks for calling. What's your story?
I met a guy at the scene of an accident.
The scene of an accident.
Okay, they did a whole movie about that. You are effed up.
Is this some guy you ran over, or?
Well, actually, no. He got ran over in front of me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was just kidding.
And
I didn't know he got run over. Okay.
He really did. He was riding a bike. He was okay, but I helped him out. And we exchanged numbers, and then we started talking. We went on one date, but it didn't work out.
Doesn't matter if it worked out again.
Yeah.
Check you out.
By the way, I bet you were so hoping that would work out, because what a romantic story to have for the whole rest of your life,
romantic.
Huh?
Romantic, yeah.
That's very cool.
He was laying on the ground. I gave him CPR. That is romantic. All right.
He was unconscious.
Done.
I went through his pocket, stole his wallet. All right. Here's what you'll like, Kevin. Line four is going to be our man, Angel. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the Kevin and Bean Last Call Singles Party this Friday night. If you are 21 and up and looking to go, we're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-106. And we want to find out that you are the kind of person who will meet someone anywhere and strike up a conversation. Angel, what happened?
Yeah, I, at the time, had a girlfriend, and we were hanging out at her friend's place. And her friend had a cousin who was kind of digging me and looking. So,
wait, hold on. I need a flow chart. Yeah. You've lost me already.
He had a girlfriend.
Okay.
Yeah, her cousin's friend.
Her friend's cousin.
Her friend's cousin. Okay.
Yes, okay. Her friend's cousin was digging me. So at the time, my girlfriend had walked into the restroom, and I got the digits while she was in the restroom.
Wow. How much time? What was the window of time that you had? It had to be like less than a minute.
You don't even know. When my girlfriend at the time was coming back, I had barely, like, put the phone down. I had maybe a window of 2 minutes.
Nice.
Strong.
I was nervous.
Now,
I was sweating it.
I'm not positive that all girls are going to be down with that kind of activity.
Here's my question. Did you start dating this other girl while you still had a girlfriend?
No, actually, it kind of ended up being really a fling. It didn't last very long.
That's the wrong answer.
Yeah, that is the wrong answer.
You are not smart.
By the way, even if he didn't start dating her while he had the girlfriend, he was already planning for after the girlfriend, right?
So. Right, but my point is, you know, at that point, all girls are going, wait a minute, this is a dog.
Right.
Yeah. So you say, no, I didn't do anything. It doesn't matter what you did, you say you didn't.
I'm impressed that he was able to work it out in the couple of minutes that his girlfriend was in the bathroom. But the downside of Angel's story is he was still kind of, you know, stepping out on his girlfriend, too. So what do we do with him?
We're
going to
say goodbye, Angel.
Aww.
Goodbye, Angel.
By the way.
Angel has no trouble picking up women. He doesn't need our
party. I'm with Bean. It's impressive.
It is impressive.
It is.
From the time she went to the restroom.
A lot of cheaters are impressive.
A lot of us would not have the nerve to make that move. That's what I'm saying. All right. Let's try maybe one more. How about Tyler? He's on line three. He's talking about a situation we've all been in. Very few of us are able to turn it into something. Hi, Tyler. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah. So I was sitting on a plane on a connector flight from Seattle to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a young lady in front of me who was a little bit nervous about the flight. So I pulled out a teddy bear I was bringing back from my sister, and I said, would you like to borrow this to hold on? She called me her hero, gave me her number, turned into some erotic pictures, and then we met later, and then she turned out to be a little crazy.
Oh, my God, you're such a girl.
That was really sweet.
No.
I'm sorry, who was
for me, it was great.
Who was the teddy bear for?
His sister.
He paused. For my sister.
Hey, I think that's a good move, by the way,
me
to help her out in the air like that, give her a little bit of comfort. Look, All of us have seen a hot chick on a plane and thought, how are we going to talk to that person and never figure out a way to do it? I'm very impressed with
and
that.
All the girls on the plane go, oh, God, don't talk to me, don't talk to me, don't talk to me.
Right.
All right. I think that's impressive.
I do, too.
All right. Thank you for calling. Hang on, Tyler. We'll see you Friday night. We'll take a few minutes of calls off the air if you want to continue calling at 1-800-520-1067. If you are going to email us to try to get into the party, please, this is very important. Pictures, phone number. Pictures, phone number. That'll make it easy. We'll have more tickets you can win on the radio, too, coming up later this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. A lot of shows still ahead. I mentioned we got Daniel Tosh coming up. We also got the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices today. And believe it or not, I know you thought this was dead. We have an update on Psycho Mike and the World's Largest Gummy Bear.
Oh, I'm a gummy bear. Yes, I'm a gummy bear.
Some actual progress on that. So we'll tell you about that coming up in a few minutes. Right now, though, remember when Psycho Mike, speaking of Psycho Mike, was doing the Super Bowl party last weekend?
Yes.
Out at the in Morongo, right? And all the time we talk about it, we couldn't say that it was a Super Bowl party because you got to pay to be officially in the Super Bowl business. It has to be the big game party. This is why you always hear the commercials for the big screen TVs when you hear those or see those on TV. Hey, get your big screen TV in time for the big game. Even though everybody knows what it's talking, they're talking about, you can't say Super Bowl.
Right. Well, otherwise the NFL will sue you. Right. That's the way
exactly.
It works.
So. Same deal with the Olympics. And I hope it's okay for me to even mention the Olympics are starting on Friday, but they are very particular about the words and trademarks associated with that. So if you're going to be talking about the Winter Games, you got to be careful.
Nope. I don't think that's acceptable either.
Well, let's find out because we don't want to get any kind of legal trouble here. So we asked producer Alex to line somebody up. And from the Olympic Committee, we've got a spokesperson now. Mr. Brian Davis joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Davis. Thanks a lot for coming on the air with us.
No worries. How are you this morning?
Good. Thank you.
We're great. And we're very, very excited about the Winter Games starting this Friday in Vancouver.
What was that?
Are you a promotional partner with the Olympics?
No.
I'm just looking forward to
Olympic Games is one of the phrases that we have trademarked. And you cannot use without the express written permission from the Olympic Committee.
But I thought it was just if we were in talking about a promotion. We can't even mention that the Winter Games are on TV? Can't say TV?
Winter Games, Whistler 2010. The Road to Vancouver, Vancouver 2010, mm-hmm. The 2010 Winter Olympic Games.
Right.
These are all specifically trademarked.
Okay, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens on the mountain in British Columbia starting Friday.
All right.
acceptable.
Wow.
Okay.
God.
Good.
Fantastic. Now, are we allowed to mention any of the athletes, for instance? If I say I'm excited about Lindsey Vonn, seeing what the hot skier does for the U.S., can I talk about her?
Sure, that's fine. That's on her. If she wants to trademark her name and make some money off it, that's fine. But we've got specific Olympic trademarks that we have controlled the marketing rights over, and mm-hmm. these are respect with not only Olympic terms, but also the emblems, the marks, the symbols, many of the terminology. But, if you want to talk about Lindsay, that's fine.
So the five rings we're not allowed to use?
No, you can't use that in printed form or even talk about it.
We can't even talk. Can we talk? What?
What'd we do?
I don't know. I just sensed something bad was coming on.
Because you knew Bean was talking.
Yeah. How about, can we talk about some of the sports that we look forward to? Like, we're really excited to see how Team USA does it.
Team USA is one of those phrases.
No.
Team 2010, USA 2010, going for the gold, let the games begin, where the Olympic journey begins, the best of us, the road to Vancouver, Whistler 10-20, Winter Games, Olympiad, Olympic, Vancouver 10-20, and all Olympic mascots therein.
I don't think we would want to say half of those. What?
Those. You said those.
I can say the...
Nope.
That doesn't seem a little picky. What can we say? What can we say?
You can say thing that happens in the winter time that is snow related and sporty.
That seems long. That should be your new slogan, not mine.
Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you this: Are you in Vancouver right now, Mr. Davis?
Can't say Vancouver.
I'm talking about this. Just a city. Are you?
Can't say city.
Canada.
Wrong.
All right. How are they handling the fact that there has been so little snow?
Can't say snow.
How can I not say snow?
Can't copyright snow.
Just did.
Wow. It makes it difficult.
We're going to say ice?
No.
Oh, all right.
I was going to say it makes it difficult for us to talk about anything at all.
Well, that's on you, isn't it? Your broadcasters get creative. Get wacky. Why don't you do some wacky comedy bit about the Olympics? Then you can say everything you want.
have a spokesperson on from the Olympic Committee, that kind of thing?
Exactly. No, that's what I would do if I was you.
No, that's dumb. What?
That's dumb.
Oh, okay.
That is the band Phoenix right there on the Kevin and Bean Show. They are part of the lineup that includes Weezer, Flaming Lips, and so much more on the new Bonnaroo lineup festival for that concert they have every year out in Tennessee. I think we have those details up at KevinandBean.com if you want to see who else is going to be playing. That's turned into quite an event over the last few years.
Yeah,
it's like Coachella East, I guess, a little bit is what it is. All right. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Got an email here that I think you'll enjoy very much, Kevin. Hey, guys. Long time, first time. I was listening to your interview with the great Ozzy Osbourne the other day on your program, and I only got about 50% of what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Then the next day, I was listening to Kevin trying to tell a story about what he did over the weekend, and I only understood about 40% of that. Then I was watching the first episode of the new season of Lost last week, and I only got about 20% of that. WTF, right? So could you guys make my dreams come true and arrange an instant request between Ozzy Osbourne and your own Kevin discussing the new episode of Lost that aired last night? That would be most illuminating, I think.
Oh my God.
Sincerely, Dave. I don't, I can't imagine that those are the guys you go to, but hey, Dave, we're going to give it a try. Thanks for the email. It's time for another Kevin and Bean instant request.
Listen up, everyone.
New instant.
Make a request.
Instant request. Kevin and Bean.
Instant request.
Hey, Ozzy.
Hello. I'm surprised to hear you from you.
Kevin, are you there?
I'm absolutely here at 110,000%.
Kevin, are you now talking to Kevin? Is
I
that
am,
what's
apparently.
Happening here?
Yes.
Okay, that's, well, you know, Lost
this
does
is
have
more
the
confusing than I thought.
Lost does have the alternate reality. Now I understand that you guys are Lost buddies. You guys talk every Tuesday night after the new episodes air.
Yeah, I call Kevin. We discuss the final post of what happened in the episode, and I say that. I do not know why they want to poison Saeed. It's because it's because of the evil inside him, and he's back from the dead, and I'm afraid he's gonna. What is Jack's sister? Jack does not have a sister. I do not know Jack's sister. Claire is Jack's sister, because his father was in Australia. And I had the sex with Claire's mother. I do not know who Claire is. Who's Claire? Is she on the show? Yes, she was the blonde girl. There's a baby. There's this big belly. It was Aaron. Who is Aaron? Aaron is the name of the baby. But last night she did not even know having the baby yet. She was in the hospital, but no, have not even having baby. But it's going to happen. And it did happen. So they're going to be the same thing. It's with Aaron and Claire is going to go back with Claire to go with the baby. Why is she shooting people? Why did she shoot people then? I don't understand why Stoyer threw a ring away. Because he was upset. His girl he loved died, and he said he was going to propose to her. When did Evangeline start driving a cab?
Okay.
I can't talk to you anymore.
How is Ozzy more clear on what's happening than Kevin is? This is very troubling, actually.
Here's Ralph with some free stuff for you.
Hey, you want to celebrate Valentine's Day a little early? Well, we've got passes to the advanced screening of Valentine's Day, the movie.
What?
At the Grove in Los Angeles, February the 11th, Thursday night. The movie hits theaters Friday, February the 12th, but you will see it before anybody else if you're one of the first five lucky callers at 1-800-520-1067. Call now for your pair of passes to see Valentine's Day.
It is 6:51.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. I have to ask, Ralph, because I know your mission has been to make my life miserable on this show lately. Are you responsible for pulling the plug on the video? Because a Playmate of the Year is coming in later today. And mysteriously, out of the blue, for the first time in months,
yeah, that's a shame.
I've got no studio video.
Well, we know you were eager to get her out of the studio as quickly as possible, so we figured we would get it even quicker for you and have it just be, you know, just no show.
We're whatsoever. Working around the clock on it, Bean.
But we have a team. No,
it's
we've got,
really
yeah.
there. It's,
there's guys crawling through the ceiling now. They're re-threading some cable and stuff. So
Sarah
it's our
Underwood.
Highest priority.
Hopefully it'll be up pretty soon.
Playmate of the year, has got a new project going with some other playmates, and she is coming into the Kevin and Bean studio today. Mysteriously, a cable has been cut. I am unable to see what's going on.
We're trying, man. We'll get it up as soon as we can.
Yeah. We just hope the audio doesn't go. That's all we worry about, because, you know.
That could happen, too.
If you're talking to her and you ask her what she did in Slither or something, we don't want that to happen, so we'll make sure that stays on.
All right. Good. Daniel Wheel O, Bad Animal Voices, and Mike versus the Gummy Bear. It's all coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now Ralph's got the show this week.
Sad news. Peanut is dead.
The base player from 311?
From 311?
No. The real Peanut. The good one.
The good one. Who's the real Peanut?
Peanut was an animal actor.
Okay.
Peanut was a little dog who starred in the Universal Studios Animal Actors stage show. And, of course, probably his most famous role was as the role of Ron Burgundy's dog, Baxter.
No way!
Baxter's
gone. God! No, God! Please, no! No! No!
Not Baxter.
Peanut
played,
Peanut played Baxter in Anchorman, the legend of Ron Burgundy. And he stole the movie. Remember, he's wearing his little, the braces, the mouth guard, and the little pajamas, the same matching PJs as Ron?
Sure.
That's right.
Great in that movie. He passed away this week. And, of course, our condolences go to Sandra, an animal trainer who rescued Peanut from a shelter.
Huh.
That's where she found little Peanut and trained him and adopted him as her own and raised him. And our condolences go out to Sandra and her family and everyone else who worked and knew Peanut. I've been friends with Will Ferrell for about 20 years now. We started back in sketch comedy together. So I thought I'd really quickly just reach out to Will and see what his feelings were on losing Peanut.
Okay.
And so we taped a little interview yesterday afternoon, and here's what Will had to say about Peanut.
The man put it back, sir. The motorcycle on the bridge. I hit him with a burrito. He kept questioning me, and I kept denying, but I did it. I hit him, and then he grabbed my head.
Yeah, wow. Will's taking it hard.
Hate to see him that upset.
It's rough. You know what's rough is being Victoria Beckham. Of course, formerly known as Skeletal Spice, one of the Spice Girls.
She could eat.
You think?
Yeah, she could have a meal.
She could go for a sandwich?
Small one, yeah.
Let's watch her as special guest judge on American Idol. She is just emaciated.
Yeah, she is.
It seems to be the look that everyone except for us loves.
Yeah.
But it's too skinny.
The problem is when you're married to a soccer superstar, George Beckham. What's his name?
It'd be David.
David Beckham.
Yeah.
You become the victim of a lot of pranks. He loves to prank. He's a prankster.
David Beckham is.
David Beckham is.
Okay.
Apparently, she was in the gym the other day when her cell phone went off, and it turns out that David had changed her ringtone to I'm So Sexy by Right Said Fred. That started ringing throughout the gym, and Victoria said, I was mortified.
I love that.
Unfortunately, I can't get rid of it because I'm rubbish with phones. Apparently, she doesn't know how to change her ringtone, so now she's stuck with it.
That's awesome.
That's kind of funny.
If I found out my wife couldn't do that, I would constantly load signs in.
Wouldn't you?
Yes.
You bastard. Sad news, Lou Gossett Jr. released a statement yesterday saying he has prostate cancer.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
We asked Will Ferrell how he felt about Lou Gossett having prostate cancer, and here's what he had to say.
The man put it back, sir. The motorcycle on the bridge. I hit him with a burrito. He kept questioning me, and I kept denying, but I did it. I hit him, and then he grabbed my head.
Yeah. Drag.
Is there nothing sacred?
Speaking of the Spice Girls, Melanie Scary Spice Brown says that she is in talks with Simon Cowell to be one of the judges on the new American version of The X Factor, the all-ages solo and group version of American Idol.
That's the one that Simon's going
to. The one Simon's leaving American Idol to. He is the producer and creator of that show. He will also be one of the judges on that show, and he's talking to Scary Spice about sitting down to be one of the judges as well.
Did he also talk to Paula? Is that?
Yeah, rumors that he's been talking to Paula, too. Last night on American Idol. I know you don't watch, Kevin.
No.
But a guy did a great version, hard-pressed to believe this, did a great version of Straight Up by Paula Abdul on acoustic guitar. He sang it, yes.
And he changed it completely?
He changed, changed the rhythm and everything, did his own take on it, but the judges loved it.
Huh.
They said, if Paula was here, she would be going crazy. But Paula's not there.
It's actually funnier.
It was kind of
funny. She's not there.
Yeah. And there will be a Mission Impossible 4. It's official. Tom Cruise and Paramount Pictures have announced they are teaming up once again to crank out another Mission Impossible. It'll be out on Memorial Day 2011, they predict. J.J. Abrams, who directed the third, and I think best, of the Mission Impossible movies, will not be back to direct this one, but he will be producing it along with Tom Cruise's production company. Apparently, the idea for the script is based on an idea that Tom and J.J. came up together. It involves a spaceship and a giant volcano and some H-bombs and some aliens.
I don't think so.
So, it should be good. And
Scientology.
Speaking of movies, this scares me and intrigues me at the same time.
Both?
You know, this Valentine's Day movie.
Yes.
It's star-studded. It is star-studded.
Yeah,
it's
crazy how many people are in it.
Bradley Cooper and Julia Roberts and Jennifer Garner and Jessica Biel and Jamie Foxx and you name it, they're in it.
Okay.
So they had the big premiere the other night. And Gary Marshall is the director of this film. He directed Pretty Woman, but he's also known as the creator of Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley. He had Mork and Mindy. He had a big TV career before he got into motion pictures. He said he is doing a big screen version of Laverne and Shirley.
No.
A big screen movie version of Laverne and Shirley.
Do we need that?
Starring Jennifer Garner and Jessica Biel.
Okay.
Oh.
We need that. See? I'm torn.
He's not a stupid man.
I don't need to see that, but now I want to see that.
We need that. Yeah.
When asked about it, Jennifer Garner said, we're dying to do it. Huh. Apparently, it's going to be a comedy, a buddy comedy with Jennifer Garner and Jessica Biel. It takes place in the 50s, and it's the whole Laverne and Shirley thing.
Excellent.
Just waiting for the pillow fight.
Yeah.
I want to audition.
What's happening?
I want to audition to be Squiggy.
Yeah, you'd be awesome, Squiggy.
Hello. Hello, Laverne. Or Lenny, I'll be anybody. I'll be
Keckner's Lenny. You're Squiggy.
I love it. Get my agent on the phone. Oh, wait a minute. I don't have an agent.
Hello, Laverne.
I think you got audition. It.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Robert Wagner's 80 years old today. Actress Laura Dern is 43. Emma Roberts. She is Julia Roberts' little niece.
Yeah.
She is Eric Roberts' daughter. She's connected to a lot of Roberts.
She knows Roberts, Emma Roberts a lot of.
She she knows Roberts a lot
a
of.
A lot of them. Yes.
Get Ozzy Osbourne back to talk to Kevin if we can understand
how
what he
come
means.
Ozzy was the clear one, by the way.
I don't know. It was very strange. Look, come I can't on. Control those two guys and how they talk to each other. Emma Roberts is 19 years old today, and Elizabeth Banks is 36 years old today. She's a very talented actress.
Yeah.
Yeah, in porn actress. For those of you who don't know, being tweeted in response to Elizabeth Banks' tweet. That she was on the set, and she said, showbiz rule 241, close your eyes when they're spraying something on your face. And Bean responded to, yeah, and porn showbiz.
Which we could all see what he was going for, but it seems like perhaps take a beat and reconsider how to word it.
So we continue our apology tour to Elizabeth Banks and hope she'll join us back in the show.
That is a negative of Twitter, is that Bean has access to actual celebrities.
And pretty ones.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6 minutes after 7 o'clock. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, we talked a little while back about...
Hey, are we on? Did I miss it?
We are, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was down at the microwave.
That code?
No, I was really down at the microwave.
Okay.
I totally apologize. I thought I had time. I was reheating some pizza, and I totally took a little bit longer.
No, no worries. You take your time with it, heating up your pizza.
Well, you know, it's got priorities. Are we talking gummy bears?
We
Is that
are,
where
yes.
we're at right now?
Yes.
Oh, I love this.
Oh, I'm a gummy bear. Yes, I'm a gummy bear.
Finally, it happened. We've been dreaming about this for weeks now.
Well, we did get slowed up by lawyers, but only slowed up.
Yeah.
I mean, we found a way around it. We were talking about Psycho Mike eating the world's largest gummy bear.
Mm-hmm.
And when did this happen? When was the actual event?
A
couple days ago?
Monday of this week, yeah.
Monday of this week, okay. And we had the cameras rolling, and we have video, which is very exciting. This is the beginning. We have announcer Mark Thompson, who helped us out with some of the play-by-play for this particular event.
I'm Mark Thompson. Ladies and gentlemen, let me first start by saying that this tremendous feat is being performed by a trained professional with years of experience in competitive eating and bukkake films. You should, under no circumstances, try this at home. Parental discretion is advised.
Seriously, have you seen the video on the internet with the chicks and the cup and the one where the dude hacks up his testicles with a knife?
Oh, yes,
or what about the one with the horse that kills the guy? Well, that's how extreme this is.
All right.
And that's not hyperbole, by the way. That is the appropriate amount of excitement and context for the feat that Psycho Mike is about to undertake. And, of course, you can see the video at KevinAndBean.com. It is up as well.
Now, Mike, the rule is you can't vomit. Is that correct?
Well, the rule is you can't vomit till you've
accomplished,
swallowed the final bite. Yeah.
Okay.
He cannot vomit until the last bite is fully swallowed and liquids of any sort are allowed to help in that swallowing process.
Okay.
Ladies, please pay attention to Psycho Mike's willingness to swallow all liquids. You could learn something. All right, let's get started. Bring out the bear.
Gummy bear.
That's when I started to get really nervous, when they were bringing the bear out.
You were nervous for the whole hour before this event happened.
Right. I mean, you get a sense that something big's about to happen when you're doing something important like this. But when they brought out the tray with the bear on it, that's when I really started to get overwhelmed. I had a tingly skin.
You thought, maybe I can't do this?
Yeah. Maybe I made a mistake getting myself involved in this.
It's very much like, I mean, think about the pressure an Olympic athlete is going to be on starting this weekend. Because you train your whole life for something. The eyes of the world are on you. And in your mind, you're envisioning doing whatever your sport is to perfection and getting the gold. But then once you're standing there at the top of the slope or wherever you are, you realize, this is really happening. Uh-huh. I can't screw this up. I could die. I make a wrong move, I die. I could die. And especially in a competitive eating challenge, that's always a real possibility. So I can imagine, I mean, you look terrible in the video. You look like you haven't slept. Your hair's a wreck. You're sweating. You're giving it your all, though.
Yeah, it took a lot out of me. But that's what you can expect from a champion.
So they brought out the gummy bear.
Wow! Look at the imposing size of that gummy bear. It's truly a sight to behold. Psycho Mike doesn't hesitate to tear right into it with his fork and knife. And the first bite is down. You can see the pain on his face, but he does not let it hold him back. And it's down. He swallowed it.
All right, so I noticed that you didn't pause, you didn't let the fear build up as you, not the fear, but you know what I mean, your fear, build up as the bear was there in front of you. You didn't get intimidated, you just dove right in.
I did. I tested the waters with both feet. Once I'm involved in this bear, once I've started biting, it was all, I might as well just roll with it. You know what I'm saying?
It's like the Super Bowl, they get all nervous, but then after the first series of downs, they go, okay, it's just another game. You got to get those first downs right out of the way.
Yeah, you're all in.
Yeah.
And I just kept tearing away at that bear before I could really realize what I was doing.
Oh, wow, bite number two is going down. And that one looks like it hurts. Truly amazing. Oh, goodness, he's going for what looks like the final bite. And I have to say, I have goosebumps.
Wow. That's at that point, I did too.
I'm just sad I couldn't be there in person. I mean, it's great seeing it on the video, but imagine the people who were in that room who witnessed it with their own eyes. That's the story they're going to be able to tell the rest of their lives.
There wasn't a dry eye in the house. It's true.
They could tell their grandkids.
Yeah.
And their grandkids' grandkids. Well,
it's
I don't
pretty
think they
amazing.
Live that long, but.
Holy mackerel! He's done it! He's finished that mammoth gummy bear, and he's somehow still alive to tell about it. I was there when the Berlin Wall fell, and frankly, it paled in comparison to this moment unfolding before our eyes. Words cannot describe. Oh, wait! Oh, oh! Nope. It looks like we're going to get a reversal.
No.
We've got vomit!
No.
That's not.
That is not sexy.
Now wait, was it after the time frame? I mean, does the record stand,
or did
you ruin it?
The record stands, but it was painful. Kevin, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm wondering if it was all worth it. I mean, I feel like a champion. I feel like I've really accomplished something. And no, my family's never been more proud of me. But that was a very painful vomit session.
You know what's really sad? I was thinking about this as I was watching you finish and I was watching, you know, the celebration begin. Every woman in the audience wants to have sex with you when they see you accomplish that feat. And then all of them leave the room as soon as the vomiting begins. That's where you really do burn the bridge with every single one of them. All that goodwill you've built up now done.
There was a lot of vomit. I mean, there was.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, a lot?
I mean, yeah.
Well, a lot of gummy bear, a lot of vomit.
Man.
Yeah, it's not going to win him any fans, I don't think. except for in German porn.
I'm truly honored to be here today. Abraham Lincoln, Gandhi, right. Mandela, Psycho Mike. This has been Man versus Bear. I'm Mark Thompson. Assalamu alaikum.
Or however
that's
they say
what champions
it.
Do.
That's right.
That's right.
See the video at kevinandbean.com. It's something, well, you pretty much have to see it with your own eyes to believe that it actually happened.
I just want to thank you guys for all your help.
Wow.
And there was no trickery either, right? I mean, we didn't put any CGI in, none of that.
How dare you?
I'm just telling the people who go watch it, they're going to go, this is impossible.
It's all too real.
Yeah.
Starting to hear from some listeners, by the way, who are going to kevinandbean.com, and they're making the mistake of watching Mike eat the world's largest gummy bear while having breakfast. I'm just going to advise that you separate those two activities. Look at the video for reals, maybe not while you're eating. That's the only advice that I'm giving you.
All right, let's spin the wheel. It's time to get the wheel of bad animal voices back up because there are always many, many stories.
This. Here's the thing. It isn't good to do this.
Well, I know you say that.
And I mean it.
But you don't mean it. Because
but everyone means it.
But it's always gold.
Everyone's now, begging you not to.
There are a lot of stories that involve animals, and
yes,
we need further clarification.
They're always the same.
They're not all the same, Ralph. For example, on the wheel today, we have the renegade kangaroo.
Right.
We have the smiling dog.
Uh-huh.
It's a new one. I don't know if you've seen that one yet.
The Japanese smiling dog? Yes.
When the owner comes close, the dog smiles.
Japanese smiling dog.
That happens.
I believe that.
We have the monkey-faced pig. We have the tweeting Ugandan gorillas.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
We have Percy the albino squirrel.
Right.
This is what I don't get about Ralph. This is why I don't know why he's raiding on our parade here. Who doesn't want to talk to an albino squirrel named Percy? I mean, I have so many questions for that dude.
We have the rock-throwing elephant. We have the human-faced lamb in heaven.
Shut up.
Which I really hope that it doesn't land on. Giant Japanese jellyfish, Russian dog girl. So there's a lot of good stories on here.
Right, but my point is that you're not going to get any information about any of those stories. What's going to happen is you will spin the wheel, and then it'll fall on a predecided topic, and then I'll go in the other room, and you'll call it up. It'll be a wacky voice about the animal.
No, saying, I don't know what you're basing that on.
Hey, what's going on with your story? See, we've done this over and over and over again, and I think it's just time to
Why?
Let it go.
Do you lie like that?
I just want.
Why do you
I
lie? Don't lie. Tell the truth.
It's time to freshen things up.
I just think it's an insult to producer Alex, who puts a lot of effort into lining up the real animals so that we can talk to them.
Yeah,
I mean, she's in the office for
talk.
Hours the day before. Well, and so, the ones that we call do.
Yeah, but then it's not the real animals.
So you're saying, let's do it.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty.
Have the hotline to heaven hooked up just in case it lands on the human face goat in heaven, because we may have to dial up the satellite too. So.
I'm just asking you one more time. Let's not do this. Let's just move on.
Noted.
Here's your last chance.
Noted.
Noted.
Monkey faced pig.
Right. Oh.
Yeah.
Don't leave. This is always entertaining.
You got to hear about this story. It's awesome.
Curious locals flocked to the home of owner Feng Shengwen. After news of the piglet spread in their village, it's hideous, no one will be willing to buy it, and it scares the family even to look at it.
Oh, it does sound frightening.
The pig looks just like a monkey.
See, now, this is weird. I love pigs, and I love monkeys. I can't picture the two of them melded into one crazy animal, though.
It must have happened by its parents. I don't know how this happened exactly, but let's find out some more about the story.
All right.
I believe we have the owner on the line. Hello.
Is this Feng Changlin?
How you doing, Randy?
Is this Mr. Changlin who owns the monkey-faced pig?
No, this is monkey-faced pig.
No way!
Are you kidding me?
Pigs can't talk.
What are the odds that it's happening?
And pigs don't even have a telephone, even if they could talk.
So, the piglet, you look just like a monkey with two thin lips,
yeah,
a small nose,
uh-huh,
two big eyes.
That's right.
Your rear legs are much longer than your front legs.
Yes, I am very leggy. I could be a rocket.
if you weren't a pig
right.
that looked like a monkey.
But I can talk on the phone.
That's correct.
I got that going for me.
Yes, you do.
So how did this happen? I'm hoping that there wasn't any kind of interspecies love that brought the pig and the monkey together.
It all happened with my forefathers.
Oh.
I had my great uncle was a pig in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
And there was a farmer who used to hump the pig all the time.
Oh no.
That's terrible.
Yes. And so the human DNA and the pig DNA get mixed up.
Oh.
And then next thing you know, monkey face.
Monkey face.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a sad story. I hope that's not really what happened. That's very tragic.
That's what really happened.
Do you have a relative name? Do you have the name of the relative?
Hold on. Hey, keep it down in the sky, will you? I can barely hear these two losers.
Who are you yelling at, Mr. Pig?
The other pigs in the sty who are making loud oink-oink noises.
That's what they do, because they're pigs.
Yes, they are. Yeah. But I'm a monkey pig.
Right.
What do the other pigs think about you being so different?
They don't think much about it because they're pigs.
Right.
I see.
They're
okay.
Mostly preoccupied with poop.
Sure.
And slop.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they don't pay much attention to me, except when I'm on the phone. Then look at it. How
make
you
a lot of noise.
That phone?
Right.
I said I didn't dial. They called me. I just picked it up.
That's so much better.
I just answer it. To answer that question, I just hit answer.
Right.
On the phone.
That's not that tough.
I have a droid, so it's easy.
You have a what?
A droid.
A droid.
Really?
Yes.
You got a fancy phone?
Oh,
wow.
It's so much easier for texting and tweeting.
I think that beyond the fact that you're a pig that looks like a monkey, I think the fact that you're the smartest animal in the world is what ought to get some attention to this story.
It don't matter if you're ugly. Trust me, society's a bitch.
Really?
That way. Yeah. With my monkey face, I'll never get anywhere.
Yeah.
Because it's all about looks in this world.
Yeah.
And that's why you two on radio.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, former Playboy Playmate of the Year, Sarah Underwood, joins us later on today's show with a couple of other playmates. She's got herself a fantastic new internet endeavor. And who knew that there were boobs on the internet? This is brand new to me, but I think I think there's a lot of future in that.
I know I wanted to play the clip first, but let's bring in Daniel Tosh, who's a friend of ours and does a great television show called Tosh.0. It's on 10:30 on Comedy Central on Wednesday nights. Hey, Daniel.
Good morning.
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. This is so exciting.
It's more exciting for us as we have been in love with The Average Homeboy for quite some time, and we worship at the altar that is The Average Homeboy.
And for good reason.
Now, here's a clip of the original news piece that kind of explains who he is and how he came about.
Once you hear my audio demo, you'll just be blazed.
Straight out of suburbia, rapper Denny Blazin' Hazen laid down some dope rhymes back in the 80s, but it wasn't until 2005 that his rap manifesto made the internet. Soon, millions were transfixed by The Average Homeboy.
I'm not the typical rapper that you'll meet. I don't live in a box, nor was I raised on the street.
The Average Homeboy, first of all, is anything but average.
Right.
He's got some hot moves. He's got really fly rhymes.
I was not born with a silver spoon, and I don't have a daddy who's a big tycoon.
Now he's back, basking in web glory and ready to blaze on.
I want a recording contract with a major record label.
Sure.
I've always had my eyes on Warner Brothers or Capitol Records or Interscope.
Oh, I just got blazed.
You got blazed.
Good God, bitch. Now, the reason we bring Daniel Tosh in on this conversation is because he has Denny Blaze on Tosh.0 tonight. And before we discuss what you guys are doing, how did it happen that these raps were recorded in the 80s but were not unleashed into the world until 2005? What's the story there, Daniel?
Oh, I didn't find that out.
Okay.
Listen.
Daniel doesn't have a lot of research budget.
This guy has been living in a vacuum. I don't know. He was honestly first of all, I think he might have some type of mental I'm not calling him retarded, but he's close.
That's an understatement.
I mean, honestly, like this show has made me meet a lot of crazies from the internet. He is hands down the most insane person I have ever met.
Wow.
He is racist. I mean, and I don't even mean to say it in a. It's almost in a. I guess it's not racist if you're like if your brain hasn't fully developed. I mean, because he's almost on autopilot when it came to asking him questions about things. Like, it's like, he's like, what have you been doing for the past 20 years? He's like, he'll just answer the same thing. I've just been smoothing out my rhymes because I really want, you know, I want somebody from suburbia. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
So you don't get the impression that you're having a conversation that he is involved in, invested in, understanding. He's just got some things that he knows how to say, and that's what he uses to whatever the situation is.
Yes.
And his catchphrase, okay. You've been blazed.
Oh, man.
Really? I mean, that's going to take off, don't you think?
Sure.
Do you think, I mean, he seems very committed, very passionate to his music. Has he improved at all over the last 20 years? He spent a lot of time on it. Is he getting any better?
No.
Okay.
No. And listen, I mean, we do what we can to make people look great, but holy cow, did we have to... do about 30, 40 takes of things for a line that we were trying to get him to rap.
Now, you usually have some type of help for these web redemptions. You have a coach or somebody that comes in kind of to help him out.
Yes.
Who do you have in this one?
Well, he's from Cleveland, Ohio. So we got from Cleveland, Ohio, Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Nice.
We figured that was somebody that was, that could really help him. Just because he always talks about, he likes to work clean.
I have a clip, actually, from your show tonight about him working clean. If you don't mind,
sure.
I'm just going to play this because you get a taste for what he does.
I'm not the typical rapper that you'll meet. I don't live in a box, nor was I raised on the street.
Shining my car brings me lots of joy.
Oh, yeah?
Because I'm an average homeboy.
Your raps tend to be on the cleaner side.
I like to stand out from the crowd. My rap is about having good, clean fun.
I'm going to just throw out a word, and you just give me a couple words immediately that rhyme with it.
All right.
Brother Trucker.
You're doing the best you can, Daniel.
How did he feel about working with Bone Thugs and Harmony? You mentioned that he may have a problem with black folks. Was he comfortable taking their advice?
Not really.
Okay. All right.
And ultimately, they couldn't have been nicer. And Busy was like, here, gave him a card. Like if you're serious and want some help, feel free to give me a call. And I'm just looking at him going, what are you doing? This guy's not serious about anything.
Don't give this guy your card.
So in the web redemption, do you have him write and perform a new song tonight? Is that the goal of getting together with Denny Blaze?
Well, not to tip too much of it, but what we ultimately have him do is perform a battle rap versus another competitor.
Awesome.
Is that other competitor a young fellow by the name of Daniel Tosh?
No, it is not.
Is it Busy Bone?
It is not. No.
Right.
Busy was just there to help out.
Okay. All right.
But
sweet.
I do want to. I want to tip one thing.
Okay.
He. This is what he says. He's like, listen, I just don't understand how white people. You can have a movie called White Man Can't Jump, but if I make Black Man Can't Swim, people are going to call me a racist.
And right.
I think that might be the funniest movie ever.
Was starring him? Starring Average Homeboy?
I don't know who would star, but it seems like he should be able to sell that in this town.
Now, here's the question I have for you. And again, we're talking to our friend Daniel Tosh, Tosh.0, one of our favorite shows. It airs every Wednesday night at 10:30 on Comedy Central. Here's my question for you. A guy like Denny Blaze can go one of two ways. He can either wake up and smell the failure and give up on his rap career and concentrate his energies on something that he can actually do, or he can really try to follow his dream until the day he dies. I'm a little bit worried that this encouragement that you've given him by putting him on your basic cable show, I'm just worried. This is going to be – I'm worried that this is going to give him enough ammunition to believe that he really can make it for the rest of his life.
Right.
He'll never stop.
And I'm saying I hope that's what it gives him.
Well, hey, listen, if he can get 20 years out of that one video – I mean, like, when he showed up on the set, like, it passed out T-shirts, you've been blazed to everybody.
Wow. Yeah, he's got headshots, you've been blazed. He really is
– You can't discourage that guy.
You can't. No. He's a force to be reckoned with.
He's probably sent me 5 emails since then, just how excited every day, and letting me know that, you know, I'm doing everything I can to promote this big show. I'm going to get all my fans and your fans. We're going to take over.
Your ratings are going to skyrocket with his fans.
So you didn't break.
Sadly, it might.
You didn't break his heart. He left a happy man, feeling like he'd put on a good show. Then.
Oh no! Of
course, and that's not my goal, to destroy their dreams. But he was crazy.
There are some people who, even if that was your goal to destroy his dream, there's no possible way even to dent that. Yep. I mean, he really does believe, and that's why I love him, and that's why I love you, Daniel. You're the best. Thanks for coming on the show on short notice. Tosh.0 again tonight, 10:30 on Comedy Central. It's one of the funniest shows you'll see, so please check it out.
Thank you. It's very nice.
Thank you, Daniel. Bye.
Ringo for president.
I don't know how that helps us at all, but thank you very much.
Ringo!
All right. Hey, very special guest. One of our favorites. We're always excited when Phil Kogan is in town and stops by to talk about all things Amazing Race, debuting with the new season this Sunday night on CBS. You know, that if I'm not mistaken, Ralph, please correct me if I'm wrong. That show has won the Best Reality Show Emmy every single year since the category has existed.
Yes, absolutely.
Incredible, right?
Still not in HD.
Still not in HD.
That's all I know.
That's the king of anyway, my complaint, yeah. We love Phil. We always feel like a slacker every time he's in here because he's a guy who lives life to the fullest. But we'll chat with him coming up on the Kevin Devine Show right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday. What's going on?
Jennifer Love Hewitt is a jealous bitch.
Uh-oh.
Fat. Now she's gone with Jamie Kennedy, who co-stars with her in The Ghost Whisperer.
Yeah.
Like, seriously going out like they're going to get married or something, right?
Jamie got a gig judging a go-go dancing contest in Vegas.
Yeah.
He was the special celebrity judge.
Okay.
What low-rent dive was this being held in? And they were all going to be go-go dancing in their skivvies, as they're wont to do, the ladies there in Vegas.
Sure.
So Jennifer Love Hewitt, according to Star Magazine, insisted on going along with him because she didn't want him being tempted by any of these vixens who were dancing on the stage.
Isn't she hotter than any of them?
I would think. Kevin, it's not about hot, man. It's about strange. You know how it is.
Giant size cans.
I know that.
He is had such an ass full of her, I'm sure, by now. He was like, oh, this is going to be great. I'll get to be TV's Jamie Kennedy in a strip club.
I'm going with you.
Oh, just take me now, Lord. That's what he was screaming.
I mean, the truth is, if the decision is, do you want to see Jennifer Love Hewitt again today naked, when you've seen her the last 1,000 days naked, or do you want to see someone even not as hot as her naked for the first time? You go for that, right?
That's what I'm saying. But she tagged along to make sure there was no shenanigans. You're with her?
I would want her, yeah. I think she's pretty hot.
But you're missing the point of the story.
What's the point of the story?
He's going to judge a go-go girl contest.
Right.
She insists on tagging along.
Okay, that is bad.
That's bad. That's bad.
That is bad for me.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Good God.
I couldn't get past the visual.
Jeff Probst. Oh, I wonder if Probst and Kogan ever throw down.
Be awesome, wouldn't
it? They were running each other at the men's room at the Emmys and started pushing and shoving at the stall against the urinals. Kogan grabs Probst and smacks him right into the tiles above the urinal. Gives him a bloody nose.
I hope that happens.
Emmy winner, bitch. What do you got?
who would win in a fight between those two? Because they're both in very good shape.
Kidding me?
What?
Kogan, rides his bike around the world 2 times a year.
Yeah. He
jumps out of planes with no parachute.
He's annoying that way.
He just literally lands on his feet. He glides down just by spreading his arms and lands on his feet in a cornfield.
All right. So your money's on Phil.
He does, bench presses with tanker trucks and stuff.
That happens. Yeah. I've seen it.
Jeff Probst is just re-upped as host of Survivor for another 2 seasons. I wonder what kind of coin he's making. I wonder if he's making more money, Kogan or Probst. Who do you think?
That's a good question. Yeah. I would guess Probst just because of how huge Survivor has
Amazing
been.
Amazing Race is
it.
Bigger than Survivor now,
I
think.
Guess. But at the beginning, wasn't Survivor...
It was a phenomenon.
It was the biggest show in the world.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's ask him.
Yeah. Let's ask the guest how much he makes on the air.
How much money do you make?
How much money do you think
Jeff
Probst
makes? This is going
to go well. Okay.
Some suggestions.
Money.
For questions.
All right, good.
Tom Cruise is making another Mission Impossible. In this film, Tom will try to make love to a woman. Mission Impossible 4.
Which, of course, is a dumb joke.
Because who makes love to more women?
That's right.
Or who is more heterosexual than Tom Cruise?
No one.
He loves women. I was making an ironic joke there.
Right. I just want to make sure everybody understood.
But in reality, I meant another.
Because he's very litigious.
That's right. Does that mean gay?
No, it means... No, that's what it means at all. It's the opposite of that.
It'll be out on Memorial Day 2011, so circle your calendars. Very special day. We get to see another Mission Impossible film.
Those are good movies, I think. I like them.
Yeah, it's funny, though. Remember when Paramount said they'd never work with Tom Cruise again?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is when he lost his mind and was jumping on couches on Oprah and was being all Scientology.
Those were the good days.
Yeah. And Sumner Redstone, who, by the way, is not only a financial and business genius...
but is a handsome, handsome man.
That's true.
Sumner Redstone.
Has all his original hair. You know that?
Yeah, sure. And all his original teeth. I don't know what you're talking about. He's the CEO of Viacom.
Yes.
Which is one of my favorite conglomerates, by the way. They do good work over there.
All right. They own us. Move on.
He said he would never work with Tom Cruise again.
That's right. I forgot about that.
We are no longer in the Tom Cruise business.
I forgot.
Get off my lot, is what he said pretty much. Now, Paramount's taking the shorts. Tom Cruise needs a hit. Everybody's everybody again.
All right.
CBS.
Oh, come on. No, that's not true. They do good work. I'm just saying, it's funny how in times of financial hardship,
yes,
people can put their problems aside.
All of a sudden, everything changes.
Everyone's hugging and kissing, and everybody loves
them. Shame
on
you, CBS!
No, CBS does wonderful, wonderful work, and we love them.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant.
Celebrity birthdays today, Robert Wagner.
Yeah!
Really? Don't do that.
I was a big Heart to Heart fan back in the day. In the 60s, he was even cooler. He had a show called It Takes a Thief, where he was a professional cat burglar who got recruited by the government to steal for the government. So he stole, like, secrets and stuff like that. And he used to scale down the sides of buildings. This was, like, before any of that stuff. It was a good show.
No, it was a really good show.
That was almost
a really good show.
50 years ago?
Doesn't mean it wasn't good just because it was on a while ago. Lots of good things have happened throughout time. Throughout all of time.
Oh, God. I'm so bored.
Kevin's theory is good things have only happened in 2010, Ralph. You know that. Nothing good ever happened before that.
And R.J. Wagner was married to Natalie Wood, one of the all-time beauties in the show business.
But not a good swimmer.
Not so much.
Ow! So bored.
And then he married Jill St. John, another hottie.
All right. Oh, she was so hot.
Let's move on.
I think she's still alive.
What's next?
Still alive.
What else you got?
Laura Dern's 43 years old
good
today.
Oh.
Emma Roberts, the niece of Julia Roberts, daughter of Eric Roberts, sister of Cokie Roberts, too, oddly enough.
I don't think that's true.
No, it's not true at all. She's 19 years old today. And Elizabeth Banks, one of our favorite actresses, used to come on our show until Bean drove her away with his creepy insanity.
Yeah.
How dare you?
It's a shame.
She is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin Meade Show on a Wednesday.
You got to put on your headphones. We're on the air.
Sorry.
Put on your headphones.
I'm getting there.
This is the first time Bill's ever done radio?
Yeah, no, I'm working on it. This is the microphone. And,
that's it,
And this is the coffee.
That's correct.
Okay.
That wasn't even a little bit amazing, Phil. I got to be honest. I'm a little bit disappointed.
Don't be disappointed with me, please.
We are always excited to welcome our friend Phil Kogan back to the Kevin Meade Show. Of course, my host, The Amazing Race. I'm the only one applauding. There we go. There's some help for it. It debuts this Sunday night with the new season at 8 on CBS. Phil, by the way, put us in our place the minute he walked into the studio. Why does everybody always ask me if I could take down Probst? Apparently, that has been a fantasy of many television viewers for a long time to see you guys lock horns, it sounds like.
Yeah, what is with that? Why is it that people want to see us go in a ring or you know?
I don't know, really.
But it's a fantasy thing.
It would be fun to watch. You think you could take him in a fight?
You know, I think he's one of those guys that would just go, you know, nuts when he had to.
What does that mean?
Well, it would mean
you take him in a fight or no?
You'd have to really hate him to. You'd have to really hate him to make for a good fight. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I mean, just to fight him. Well,
no,
you know what I'm saying. Like, did you ever have fights at school? Did you ever have
Sure.
Yeah. And the times that people would be scared of you would be when you just lost your stuff. And
I can see that. So you wouldn't push him to that point because
I like the guy. So I'd have to have some reason that I wanted to smack him, and he'd have to have some good reason, I think, to smack me up. And then who knows?
Anything maybe that could reason happen. Could be money. Yeah. Who makes more money? Is my second question.
That could. Well, listen, I got plenty. I'm not wanting for any more money. So.
All right.
I got past that. There was a time in my life when money was a,
motivating factor.
It was a motivating factor, but I'm pleased to say that I'm not wanting for anything in my life.
Yeah. We weren't planning on asking either of those questions, but it just came up
you would like to know.
All right.
He didn't answer either of them. Yeah.
I know, that was good. The politician.
He's good.
Hey, Phil, it seems to me the fraternity of reality TV show hosts, you guys are all pretty, I mean, if not friends, certainly friendly, right? I mean, it seems like that's the impression I get.
I worked with Tom Bergeron for 5 years when I was over at Fox. So, and we had a lot of fun on the air together.
He's a great host. Yeah. Great host.
Yeah, and fun guy. We had the best time together on the air because I would be out in the field doing pieces. He would be in the studio. And so we had this live, it was live television. And 5 years of live television together, we just had, and he's great at live TV. I love live TV because anything can happen.
Right.
So we did that. We had a great time. And then I knew Jeff during that time. I have met Ryan a couple of times, but I've never actually hung out with him.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to.
And
don't worry about it.
And then I've heard about some of the other guys. And
if you couldn't host The Amazing Race, which show would you like to host?
Oh boy,
Jersey Shore.
Are any of them attractive for you, or would you just do something non-television related if you weren't the host of The Amazing Race?
I got to be honest with you, not a lot of the other reality shows in terms of hosting really appeal to me.
Once you've done The Amazing Race for a lot of years, then anything else seems like would pale in comparison. Give people an idea.
The Bachelor, though, right?
The Bachelor, yeah.
That doesn't interest me. I can't get my head around that. I can't get.
And they don't travel.
Well, just the whole thing with these people like making out. That part, I guess, you know, if you're...
Hey, they're looking for love, man.
Right, yeah.
Okay. That's right.
Why are you against that?
Don't denigrate
that. For people who haven't seen The Amazing Race, explain exactly what goes on week to week and how
you
complicated
it can get.
You mean
in terms of making
get.
It or,
no,
or
no, just in terms
of the show?
No, both. Yeah.
Well, I think, one of the things that's very unique about the show and one of the reasons that I love being involved in it is that the people that we put together to go out and race around the world... These people, many of them have never done anything like really crazy in their lives.
Right.
You know, some people have never owned a passport. They've never left their state. And so they're constantly being pushed into doing things that they just never imagined themselves doing. And, of course, they're motivated by the fact that there's a finish line. And at the end of the race, somebody's going to win $1 million, which is a good motivating thing.
And they truly do go around the world on these challenges course of one season. They leave from Los Angeles Sunday and go to Chile?
Yes, and when they race, this whole thing that we do around the world takes around 23, 24 days. So when people see the show and it's strung out over the 12 weeks, a lot of people assume that there is literally weeks in between.
Take plenty of time to rest.
But the actual production of it is extremely tough on everybody. And we know that when we're exhausted,
yeah,
and when we're really, really tired, because some seasons are tougher than others, we know that we're pushing them really hard,
sure,
too, because they're living it with us, and we're on the planes with them. And you know,
well, what I love is that they just the traveling alone would wear you out. But then
what I love is
that you add challenges to it,
yeah,
and it makes it nerve-wracking, and it really, really, really tests their mental capacity,
physical and mental, yeah.
Which I like that part of it. Yeah. You know, there's couples that say, if we can do this, maybe our relationship has a chance. And I go, okay, nope. But there are other people like father, son, and, you know, people like that that seem to really get stronger as they go.
You're going to see that actually in the first episode on Sunday, where there's like a breaking point for one of the teams. Where
on the first episode?
Yeah, on the very first episode.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to see right up out of the gate, you're going to see a team that just gets to the breaking point where it's like, you know, can we keep going? Are we going to be able to keep going? And one team member is, you know, trying to encourage the other. The other one is just battling with, I don't know if I can. And it always makes for great TV. But we're trying to push people through those challenges. We want them to get through to the other side. But ultimately, you know, what inevitably happens is people break. They just get to a point where they can't keep going.
Almost everyone has some sort of snap during that time, don't they?
Well, it happens because you're getting 2 or 3 hours sleep a night.
Right.
It happens because you don't know what time it is anywhere. And suddenly, you know, you're so used to going down to your local, 7-Eleven and knowing where everything is on the shelves. And all of a sudden you're in a place where you don't recognize the food. You don't recognize the culture.
The language.
Everything is out of whack. Like, what kind of money do they take? And what time is it? And when do the buses leave? And why? You know, everything is different.
I would just be a pile of sad.
What year did you...
Yes,
you would be a pile of sad. What year did you start doing this show?
I started doing it. I got the job at the end of 2000.
Okay,
And then we rolled out... We shot our first season in 2001.
So just before September 11th?
Exactly.
Did that complicate things? Tremendous amount traveling?
Oh, the traveling,
well,
yeah.
What was interesting was we shot the show January 2001. It went to air September of 2001.
Okay.
We went to air 4 days before September 11th.
Would you say you caused September 11th then?
That seems unlikely, Kevin.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
All right, so it airs.
Another conspiracy theory. No. But that really messed us up. I mean, in terms of the release of the show.
I'm sure.
Because once that happened, you know, who cared about trivial reality shows? I mean, that was how they were seen anyway.
Right, sure.
Anything that wasn't related to making sure we got through safely for the rest of 2011.
And it had been shot, so you can't reference it or anything
else
like that.
And it would have been done. But what's interesting is really the most difficult aspect of travel after that was within the United States. The international travel wasn't dramatically – that didn't dramatically change because a lot of countries we'd been to had already had – they already had these – you know, a lot of high security systems in place.
Oh,
yeah,
I see.
America was kind of last getting to the, getting to some of those.
Well, you know, and it's on such a big scale too. You know, to suddenly put in a really good security system. Like, if you've ever flown LL or if you've ever gone to Israel, the security system that they have requires that you turn up very early to the airport. But they do a really thorough job. By the time you get on the plane, you know, I mean, they check the plane. They x-ray everything that goes on the plane. They go through a very thorough interrogation process almost.
You get a free colonoscopy if you fly their airline, right?
Absolutely. And if they see a polyp, they'll take it out.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's a nice advantage.
Phil Kogan is here, by the way, the host of The Amazing Race. If you're just joining us, we're going to talk about the new season specifically when we come back after a break that debuts this Sunday night on CBS. I have two questions that have been percolating that I'm dying to know the answer to, Phil. Oh. One is, how many people have lost their passport in the course of doing the show?
I think we've had three teams lose them, if I'm not mistaken, and then we have had people misplace them.
That sounds so simple. Like, how can you let that trip you up? Because that sounds like the simplest error in the world to avoid. But in all the, you know, the hustle and bustle and confusion, I guess it's understandable how you could do it, too.
This is from a man who showed up at an airport with an expired passport, by the way.
Yes, I certainly
did. To go out of the country.
That's being you.
Yeah. I did. And I had to get in a cab and turn around and go back home immediately.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he did.
You really did?
He did that.
Oh, yeah.
We want you on race.
I got to the counter, and I said, I'm on your 6:30 flight to Helsinki. And the guy looked at my passport and said, not with this passport, you're not. And I heard the sound in my head, mwah, 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 mwah. And I turned around, got in the cab, and went home.
I would pay any amount of money to have Bean be on Amazing Race because talk about people breaking.
He would break.
He does not really tolerate changes in schedules and things he's not familiar with.
Right.
He would break before he left the town, the first city.
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting point because people will stop me and they'll say, I speak, you know, 35 languages. I've been to the moon and back and I travel, whatever. And I'd be amazing on Amazing Race. Mm-hmm. And we're not looking for those people. we're looking for the person who is going to lose their passport, who's going to find this extremely challenging. It's much more interesting to have somebody who is going to struggle at getting from point A to point B than it is
I'm
to have some.
I'm your man. I'm doughy and I need a lot of sleep.
Did you say you're doughy?
Yes, you did.
I'm doughy and I need a lot of sleep. So I may be perfect for your show, come to think of it.
And routine is all important to Bean. So that's thrown off immediately.
Oh, listen, your daily constitution is going to get thrown completely out of whack.
Can't wait. All right. Phil Kogan is here. The Amazing Race is this Sunday, 8 o'clock, CBS. We're going to come back and talk about some of the teams that are competing this year, including Miss South Carolina, the one with the maps.
Wow.
Such as
that one. She's on the show.
Yes, she is.
I can't wait.
Phil Kogan in the studio with us right now, the host of The Amazing Race, which comes back for a new season this Sunday at 8 on CBS. How many seasons in are we right now, Phil?
Well, the one that's about to launch is season 16.
Season 16.
You have 11 teams, right?
Yep, 11 teams of two.
You have high school sweethearts.
Yes.
Are they married? Are they one of those that says they're just going to see if their relationship can make it? Because those people are dumb.
It's a look and see. You know,
it's a look and see.
A look and see.
I never understood that.
It's a look and be. It's a
71-year-old weightlifting grandma and her granddaughter.
Yep.
Cattle raising cowboys.
Love these guys. I love these guys. They're so fun to watch. And you will be hard pressed to see them without their cowboy hats on. They wear cowboy hats everywhere.
24/7 on the plane, everywhere.
And they have little rain covers for their hats.
How's that go over when you're in Thailand or wherever you end up?
Well, I have to say it does. It gets challenging with the guys wearing their hats. But in their everyday life, they never take them off.
Wow.
Yeah.
They from Texas?
Yes, they're from the big state.
Sure.
And they're world champion, you know, bull riders.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
These
okay.
guys are tough. I mean,
okay.
they're very tough, but not yeah, and well traveled within the United States, not internationally.
Okay, all right. What about Miss South Carolina? Former Miss South Carolina, or is it
Miss Teen South Carolina?
Teen South Carolina.
Right, Katie.
How'd you find her, Phil?
Well, I did not find her personally, but the casting people found her, and you know she got a lot of attention from the her answer when she was on the show. Mm-hmm. And she really had like a disconnect when she was answering, and
that's the best.
Well, it was certainly an interesting answer, and but you know I got to tell you, have you ever had like a complete disconnect? Like, have you ever had a moment where you've completely lost it?
Every day, every day of my life.
Every day. Okay. Well,
I have those more than
she had one of those moments, because I can assure you, you cannot assess her just on that. But obviously, everybody does. So one of the reasons that she's come on the show is that she wants to sort of say, hey,
I'm not as dumb as I sounded.
Exactly. I know that's what you think I'm all about, but let me show you that I'm not.
That doesn't work. I tried that too. It doesn't work.
But I did hear she went on some talk shows afterward, and to some extent she did redeem herself, I thought.
Not enough.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa, and
what does she need to make up for? I mean,
who's her partner, Phil?
Brent, and he's actually a model. He's a taller guy.
Boyfriend?
Boyfriend.
Okay.
They get on pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
He is there to sort of help her get through this experience as well. It's sort of important for him, for her to get past this.
And he's her handler. That's what you're telling us. She wears a helmet, and he's her handler.
Lover. Loving companion.
Now, when there are poker tournaments, their first place wins a certain amount, and then their second place, third place, and it pays out for a while. Is that the way your show is, too, or no?
$1 million,
and then you get nothing.
I know that the teams that come second and third, I know they do get something. I don't know. I'm not privy to what it is, but I know that they are compensated in some way.
Far down it goes? Is it just the top three?
I don't know, actually. I do know that at least second and third get some form of compensation. But again, that's not something that I've ever known about. But you know, it seems fair. If you get into the final three, there should be something.
Definitely.
But obviously, the big one is the $1 million, and then I think people can choose to have all the money up front, or they can choose to have it over a period of years. You know, so it's doled out to them without having to pay all the taxes
so
up front.
Taxes, yeah.
So you leave the United States on the episode that we'll see Sunday night. First stop, Chile. What other countries do you hit during this season of The Amazing Race?
Well, you know, we're always trying to go somewhere new and different. I'm just trying to think of all the places. Melissa, I'm just trying to think of all the places that we disclose. Have we disclosed any countries yet? You're shaking your head.
Melissa's all right, the PR person in the other room. That
yeah, the publicist. I've been rapped over the knuckles so many times for, you know, saying the wrong thing.
Okay.
But
all right.
Here's what I can say. We will be going to some new places.
Those have got to be hard to find after 16 seasons.
Actually,
countries they haven't been
to. You know what? There's still a lot of places we haven't been to, believe it or not. I mean, and even within countries that we have been to, you could go back to India 100 times and never repeat yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
Is it difficult to get the locals to play along with your game? Because you usually have them involved in some way, whether it's they're judging the contestants on what they're doing. Do you have trouble convincing people? No, really? TV show?
As the show has become more popular internationally, the show's now in 100 countries around the world.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
It's been a number one show in Singapore. It's been number one in Canada even. But it plays in South Africa, it plays in Israel, it plays through Eastern Europe, all through South America.
Do they insert their own hosts?
Well, now they actually have their own Amazing Race versions.
Oh, they do?
There's an Israeli version, a South American version, and an Asian version. I think there's four different formats of Amazing Race.
So they have
the
their own contestants and everything.
They have their own things.
Oh, I see.
Now, it has happened that we've been running on the Amazing Race, and there's been a crossover with the Asian teams running through Asia and us going through Asia.
Wow.
And in the airport, they're like, And they were sort of like, hold on a second. And you know, Wonder Amazing Race team is looking over and going, who are you guys? I don't even know who you are.
They throw down, they start fighting?
It was a smackdown.
That's what I'm talking about.
Teams must now beat up other teams from the other Amazing Race.
Have you met any of the other Phil Kogans?
I have not met them. I've communicated with them online, and we were meant to meet up. Actually, at some point, we're probably going to do something where we, you know, connect with the other
with another one of those.
We'll do something. I always wanted to get Probst or something, you know, to be along the race course somewhere.
And just stop by in the camp.
Yeah, we'll just like have him somewhere. We'll just plant him somewhere and have teams must now find Jeff Probst. You know, do some funny thing.
That'd be hilarious.
Kind of funny. As long as I don't have to go to the island and he, you know, puts me out in the middle of I'm not really into that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're almost out of time here, Phil. The Amazing Race Course airs Sunday night at 8 on CBS. Brand new season. Please check it out. I have to ask one personal question before we let you go, because the last time we had you on was a few months ago, and right. I think you were either in the middle of or you had just finished riding your goddamn bike from New York to L.A.
Right. Yeah, my tuchus has only just recovered.
I was wondering, now that you've accomplished riding a bike, please let's not gloss over that. He rode his bicycle from New York to Los Angeles, okay? I don't want to fly from New York to Los Angeles in an airplane, but he rode his bike. What personally do you want to do next? Because I know you have been on a campaign not to waste opportunities. Do you have anything in mind already lined up?
I'm actually looking to retrace the original Tour de France ride.
In a car?
No, be on a bicycle. All right. So that's definitely something. And I have...
Don't be insulted, but stop it.
Stop it? Really?
Stop.
Does it make you feel anxious?
Yeah, well, it just makes me feel like a loser.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, you screw up the curve for the rest of us is what happens. Because if you're up here, that means by default we're all down here,
Phil.
Oh,
stop.
And
listen,
all of our women look at us and go, yeah, Phil, you know,
you wake up in the morning and eat your pizza and chill and relax and you're comfortable with that. And I admire you for that.
But
you do too
much is what we're saying.
But Mrs. Bean would much rather I was on a bike from New York to Los Angeles. I'll
really?
Tell you that.
She would want him to be on a bike anywhere else in the world, yes.
Do you treat her well?
No.
We don't have time to get into that.
Okay.
All right, listen, Phil, thank you very much for coming in. It's great to catch up
discuss.
With you, my friend. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much. Sunday night, 8 o'clock, CBS The Amazing.
All right, this is bad news. I think Omar is already drinking ahead of the party tomorrow night. I don't think anybody needs that.
What are you talking about?
You know how Omar is. You know how he gets ready for these singles parties.
Sure.
You know how he likes to be juiced before he arrives. I think he's already started. Mm. DJ Omar Khan going to be on the ones and twos.
DJ Omar Khan.
Tomorrow night, Bardot in Hollywood. Great club. We were there last year, Valentine's Day weekend. Had a fantastic time. Check him out at BardotHollywood.com. It's the latest Kevin and Bean singles party. This time we're calling it Last Call because Valentine's Day itself is Sunday. This gives you a chance to hook up with somebody before that because the party is on Friday. We're ready to take some calls right now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We are going to have our own private Valentine's Day party.
Singles only.
Yeah.
Kevin and Bean's
Last Call.
Singles party.
All right, Kevin. So what are we looking for? What's the personality trait we're exploring in these calls right here?
Well, we have thrown many singles parties, and the thing that bugs us the most are people who just stand against the back wall and maybe talk to the people they came with. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Drives us crazy, because once we get you in the room, it's kind of on you to mingle and meet people and say hi. You know, everyone's single. You know, everybody's Kevin and Bean. At least they listen. They may not be a fan, but they listen or forced to or whatever. But you need to be able to mix it up. And that's why we're looking for the strangest place that you pick someone up.
Okay.
The strangest place you pick someone up.
1-800-520-1067. We just want to make sure that you've got it in you to initiate a conversation. Why don't we start with Tamika? I think she's a great example on line 4. Tamika is calling on line 4. She's exactly what it is we're talking about. A place that you wouldn't expect to hook up, and she did anyway. Hi, Tamika. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello. Hi.
Hi there.
Sorry. Okay, yeah. So I was at a New Kids concert, New Kids on the Block.
Whoa. Oh, slow down.
Yeah, not like back in the day, like last year. And found one of the few guys there, the cutest one, and actually wound up dating him for a while. So
now,
yeah.
Wait a minute. It was a guy that was at a New Kids show?
Yes.
Last year?
Yes.
And he was interested in you as a female?
Yes, absolutely.
What was he doing there? That doesn't make any sense, Tamika.
He actually grew up with the guys, and so he and his brothers were there, and they stood out because, you know, obviously they were one of the few guys
right.
that were at the, but you know,
allegedly.
Yeah. Okay, well that I mean that kind of makes sense if he was actually friends with the guys in New Kids and he was kind of going just to support them or hang out with them. That makes sense. He wasn't there because he liked the music.
He told Tamiqua that he was.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
There's a line. Oh yeah, yeah. I grew up with them.
I know those guys. All right. Well, still, good job, though. I mean, because there's a lot of competition there. It's you and, you know, 15,000 girls and 8 guys. So the fact that you went out with me is pretty good on you. All right. We'll see you Friday night. Hang on, Tamiqua. Thanks very much. Let's try Greg. He's on line 3. Boy, this is a – if Greg can figure out a way to do this, he could be my hero. Hi, Greg. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Where'd you meet somebody?
Hi. Good morning. Actually, what I did is I put up a piece of paper because I was on the freeway and saw a female. I actually gave her my number, and we talked through cell phone on the freeway.
So you saw her in another car and thought, wow, she's hot. I'm going to write my phone number on a piece of paper and show it to her?
Exactly. So what I was doing is driving. I drive stick, actually, standard. I was driving and at the same time paying attention to traffic and getting her number.
Nice. I don't think you were paying any attention to traffic.
Not at all. You're lucky.
Is this something that you do all the time, or were you just overwhelmed by how hot she was and you did it that one time?
Exactly. She was just so hot that I had to do something about it. And I figured, why not get her attention by honking and putting up a piece of paper? And we ended up talking to her about a good 2 to 3 months.
Wow. All right. Let me ask you this, Lisa. If you see a guy, even if he's cute, in a car on the freeway and he puts his phone number up on a sign, would you ever call a dude that you met that way?
Maybe.
Yeah, it depends on who it is.
Really?
I
imagine. Okay.
Maybe. Yeah. Right.
I'm impressed. What do you guys think about Greg?
That's fine.
All right, Greg. Multitask.
He's got some initiative.
Hang on. We'll see you Friday night talking about Kevin and Bean Last Call Singles Party. Look, we have a former Playboy Playmate of the Year in the next room, so I think we're just going to take one more call for now and then do a bunch more off the air. Let's try Jennifer on line 2. She's calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Jen. Thanks for dialing in. What's going on?
Hi. So I met a guy at Starbucks, and we were talking, and I wasn't done with the conversation. I was on my way to a party, and so I invited him along. And he showed up, and it was a coworker's party, and my coworker thought I knew the guy forever and buying him drinks and everything. And I literally met him 5 minutes before that.
I like it.
Tell me how the conversation started in Starbucks.
Well, you know, it was like 10 o'clock at night. I wasn't used to going out, so I had to get coffee. And the guy's there by himself writing in a journal. So I just went up to him. I was like, hey, so what's going on? And
Wait a minute. There's a dude at 10 o'clock at night writing in his journal in a Starbucks, and you think I should engage this guy in conversation. Wow.
I don't discriminate, you know.
Wow.
He's going to be emotional and thoughtful and stuff if he's writing in a journal at 10 o'clock at night on a Friday.
He's running, my heart is broken. I'm all alone.
Yeah. I'm looking at a hot chick at the counter. I'm like, a lot. Oh, never mind.
I mean, I would just, that's surprising to me. Obviously, we don't hear very many stories of girls approaching guys, too, but especially a guy who's not exactly putting himself out there. I mean, he's sitting in the corner like a little emo kid, and somehow he snags you. That's amazing that worked out.
Hey, and he had the balls enough to go with some stranger to a party.
Like, that doesn't, by the way, that doesn't take balls. If a girl asks you to a party, you say yes.
Exactly.
That's pretty simple.
All right, Jennifer, you sound like exactly the type of person that we're looking for. So please hold on. We'll hook you up for Friday night. As I said, we'll take a few more calls off the air. If you are going to be emailing in because you cannot call from work or you can't get through on the phones, please remember, include photographs and include a phone number where we can get back to you. And we'll have more calls for you tomorrow morning for the Kevin and Bean Last Call Singles Party right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:55.
I think Kevin's a little distracted by what's going on the other side of the glass right now.
Is happening.
Sarah's here.
Hi, Sarah. Yeah.
She's pretty.
Oh, is she here? I didn't realize. She's pretty.
Former Playboy Playmate of the Year, Sarah Underwood. Is that who we're talking about, who's joining us next on the Kevin and Bean Show? Is that the deal?
Yes.
Time for the world's shortest showbiz report. Here's Ralph Garvin.
Yeah, she's lovely. And the hottiegram.com website that she's affiliated with.
Pretty strong.
I could spend all day on it. It's hilarious. I'm going to send everyone I know a hottie gram. Let's talk about new movies, shall we? You know, they've been trying to get Superman back on the big screen for some time now. Ever since that abortion of a movie called Superman Returns that Bryan Singer did.
Now, I thought that was a big hit, though, wasn't it?
It made $391 million.
All right, so
which is a hit.
Build on that?
Certainly not a big hit. Well, here's the thing. It cost $270 million.
Wow. Okay.
That movie did?
Yeah. So it made the profit of about, I guess, $100 million if you do the math.
Seems like a lot. Not really.
Not really.
Mm.
Not really. And more importantly, it was
didn't make anyone happy. The fans didn't seem to like it,
and
the studio was not pleased. So they're rebooting the Superman franchise yet again.
Okay.
And they have to do it by 2012 because in 2013, the rights to the Superman character, and I find this fascinating. This shows you how it's hard to think ahead sometimes. The two guys who made Superman, who created Superman.
Yes.
Schuster and Siegel were their names.
Mm-hmm.
Two young Jewish kids out of Cleveland. They created Superman, and then they sold the rights off to DC Comics, and years go by, and Superman becomes a big star. And then the heir apparent of these two guys, mm-hmm. the family, goes and sues them, saying, look, these guys created this. This is their property. We need a better deal. So they make a deal with them for some cash and also says in this deal that the rights to the character will revert back to their families in 2013 unless they make another movie, the movie rights.
So they have to do
that.
They
have to make another movie by 2013 or else they lose the rights to the movie Superman.
Wow. Huh. Amazing.
Yeah. So they are looking to redo it, and apparently Christopher Nolan, who, of course, famously and to much success, rebooted the Batman franchise, he will be the sort of, they're calling it the mentor of the new Superman movie, sort of the guiding force behind it. He will be hiring the producers and directors and cast. He will be overseeing the reboot of the Superman franchise.
Good okay. choice.
Yeah. Apparently, according to Warner Brothers, Superman will now talk like this. I'm Superman. I'm from Krypton. And I'm a friend. I'm ready to protect you.
I think that was just the Batman.
Look, I'm a sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's me. That's how he's going to talk.
Yeah, it's just the Batman.
It was Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
Last night was Jay Leno's final 10 o'clock show.
Oh, I'm so going to miss. Oh, wait.
We're going to miss that noble experiment. Jay Leno said goodbye to his 10 o'clock time slot. He'll, of course, be back hosting the Tonight Show on March 1st after the Winter Olympics are over. And I'll tell you something, the Leno Show, I'm going to miss it. It went out just as funny as it's always been. They didn't lose a step. It was just as funny on the final episode as it was for every episode in the months leading up to it. He was fired last night, famously, of course, by NBC. But wait till you see who fired him.
I just wanted to tell you that your bosses at NBC have asked me to pass along a special message to you, Jay.
Oh.
You know why? Because they don't have the guts to do it themselves.
Yes. Well, what is the special message?
You're fired.
Fired. Thank you. Thank you, Donald Trump. Woo! Couldn't get it from a better guy.
Woo! Come on.
I'm Lee.
Woo!
He got Donald
See, because Donald Trump says...
He says you're
fired a lot.
Wow.
Then, anybody care what this guy thinks?
No!
Then his final guest, Jay Leno, had on Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, silly.
And still, again, had just as funny last night as he has been every night at 10 o'clock.
This is the last show.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like it was fitting that I came on the last show to reveal that this whole Tonight Show, earlier show thing was a punk.
Oh, oh, really? Wow! Wow, very good. Yeah, geez.
6 years ago, I sat in an office at NBC. Wow. Unfortunately, we forgot to roll the cameras, and so I don't have any of the tape.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought I'd come out and do the reveal.
Right, right. Well, wow, that's fantastic. Well, you did a hell of a job.
I know, it was so silly, and everybody believed it, like, oh, the whole God. World. And Conan was like, yeah, and like going and angry and doing Irish accents.
Wow.
And,
she did a great job.
Dude. Really? Dude.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, the good news is we get a couple weeks off before he takes over tonight's show.
Jay Leno is hosting the Tonight Show instead of Conan O'Brien.
Yep.
That's the gist. That's all how it all shook out.
Because of what you just heard.
Because of that. You can't.
That quality.
NBC can't let that comedy go from its network. It just can't release that kind of talent. How couldn't take a chance if someone else picks up on that guy.
We should get Donald Trump to say you're fired.
Oh, that would be fresh. Yes. That would be as fresh as a Jimmy Carter joke.
People will be talking about that all month.
And somewhere the masturbating bear is weeping.
Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Wagner, legendary TV actor, is 80 years old today. Laura
Dern. Asshole.
Come on. Don't come at R.J. Wagner like that. Laura Dern, very talented actress. She is the wife. Nope. She is the daughter. She's the daughter of another great actress.
That you can't remember.
But I cannot think of her name.
Would have been better had you. Yeah.
Bruce Dern's her dad, a great actor. You know him on Big Love. He plays one of the dads on Big Love.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom is that...
Is a very talented actress named...
Yeah, of course. What's her name? I know she dates Ben Harper. That's her boyfriend. She's got a baby with him.
You guys know we're on the air,
but
right?
But here's the thing. If we don't answer this question on the air... Then I got 2 days of emails saying who Laura Dern's mom is.
Who is her mom? Come on, Lisa, you know
who
this.
Her mom is.
You know who this is.
Bean, you have your head up your ass.
Bean, you type all day long during the show. Couldn't you get on your keyboard right now and Google it and find out? Couldn't you all do right, that for try, us?
Couldn't we make a decision on the fly that no one cares?
But you don't understand, Kevin. You don't understand the price that will be paid unless we answer this question.
Because
everyone who's listening will feel compelled to have to mail us the answer.
Well, email Ralph anyway.
No, that's what I'm
Ralph
saying. Please don't do that.
Here you go. Here it is. Diane Ladd.
Diane Ladd.
That's so satisfying.
Wow. See, now you feel better.
Don't care.
Emma Roberts is 19 years old today. Yeah.
What's her family tree?
She is the daughter of Eric Roberts, very talented actor, and, of course, the niece of Julia Roberts. See, that came right there. That was right there.
It might be best if you just let it go.
And Elizabeth Banks, very talented actress. We love her so much. She is 36 years old today. Yeah, 36 in the porn showbiz. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Why isn't Sarah Underwood on the show every day is my question to you guys. Come on with that. Come on. Sarah, are you busy tomorrow?
No, I'm
okay.
Great.
All right, good. Can you read traffic?
Let's make it work.
Why traffic? We have news.
We could have Lisa and Sarah.
She can
For
help.
Folks who don't recognize the name, Sarah, do I have this right? You are the 2007 Playboy Playmate of the Year?
You got it.
Mm-hmm. And that means you are, of course, a playmate for life, which means they can't take that away from you, right?
Nope. That's my title for forever. Nobody else can be the 2007 Playmate of the Year.
Super sweet. And you have figured out a way to turn that into an ongoing concern. And I'm so grateful that you came along with the Hottiegram because, frankly, up until this point, I thought that the internet was a little lacking in hot chicks.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a problem.
Now, tell us about Hottiegram.
Hottiegram. Well, let me tell you how we figured it out. I was on MySpace, and I have people requesting me all the time, like, hey, can you send my, on a webcam, can you send my friend a happy birthday or
I'll
whatever?
Bet.
Yeah. So, you know, I thought that there had to be something that we could do with this.
Hey, can you wear less when you do it? That kind of thing.
Yeah,
I did it. Hey, okay, good.
Hey, can you bend over while you talk to me?
Well, I am Playmate of the Year, so we did have to sex it up a little bit.
All right.
But I contacted Phil, the founder of it, and we put our brains together, and we came up with this sexy, fun, personalized video greeting card thing where, I mean, we recorded up to like 1,000 names. I mean, even if the names aren't on there, which I'm sure that they will be, we have all kinds of crazy stuff from like, hey, sexy, or hey, douchebag, or hey,
I gotta tell you,
Jew,
we were looking at, hey, Big Jew was one of
big
them.
Jew.
Big Jew. And we were like, how did somebody vote for Big Jew? The guys that founded it are Jewish.
Yes.
Do you call each other Big Jew? I mean, is that it's really just
sometimes.
All right, ass munch, big dork, you know, big stud, fat F.
And then we have all kinds of like sports teams to any sports you want, college or professional.
Yeah, I'd like
to personalize it with the name to
sport. I'd like to play one that apparently they got from your site, which I have a problem with.
Hey, Kevin. Who called the Kings a hockey team? They couldn't hit the puck into the Grand Canyon. They skate like sissies. And my grandma checks harder. On a bad hip. Honestly.
You.
I'm just saying.
That's not the way to talk to
her. I'm just saying we're having a great season. That's all I'm saying.
So basically, people can have you and the other playmates on the site at hottiegram.com. They can have you guys say whatever you want as a personal message to the person that they send it to. That's amazing.
And what they didn't see was that it's either a topless version or a PG version.
Oh, I didn't look at any of the PG versions. I didn't realize that.
No, you didn't. I watched you.
Because about halfway through, you know, the clothes start coming off, and that's when it gets interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can pick from any. There's a redhead, a brunette, and then a blonde. To choose from, and hopefully
this could be the best internet site ever.
Thanks.
I mean, seriously.
So we were going through these, and we looked for all of our names, and we found Ralph, and we found Mike. We looked for Dave. There's no Dave.
David.
I don't think so.
No.
But there is a Deepak.
there's also
that was a little odd considering
there's
how
also a Yoshi and a Zoltan. But there's no Dave.
I'm sure it's going to be constantly updated, but that was
Interesting.
How many Deepak have you gotten? How many requests have you gotten for that name?
I don't know.
Just
how
Chopra?
Many?
Is that it?
Thousand.
See? Liar.
Sarah, what's the occasion that most people are using the Hottygram for? Is it for birthdays, I would imagine?
Yeah, I mean, birthdays, yes. But for right now, we have Super Bowl. So everybody send in the sorry that the Colts lost.
Sure.
And also Valentine's Day. People are sending a lot of fun Valentine's Day ones.
Oh,
and
of course.
Even if you don't have Valentine's, we have for your ex that you sucked in bed. Or
oh, I like it.
Hey, douchebag. So whether you're in love or you're not, you can send them.
Either way, it makes sense. There's plenty of options on there.
Yeah.
What a great idea. I mean, think about it. If you're a Colts fan and you're just so depressed after the Super Bowl, but then you go to work the next day and somebody has sent you a Hottygram where you have a topless chick saying, hey, sorry, the Colts lost. I mean, that takes a tiny bit of the sting out of it. At least you got something out of it
for
the day, right?
Check this one out.
Hey, Ralph. Sorry the Eagles lost. I mean, it's really not their fault. They just suck.
Yeah, so you got that.
That would make him feel better. Well, if it makes you feel any better... You won the booby prize.
Yeah. All right, there. You can tell where it changed from bad, from insulting, to yes, I like this now.
No kidding. How many other playmates or other models are you using for the Hottygram? Is it just the three of you?
It's just the three of us right now. We're looking to expand.
The three of you have it covered,
yeah.
I'd like to say, but you know.
Yeah. We started off with three, but we're gonna get more.
And how much is it if people wanna do that? Send that.
We have right now it's for free.
Oh.
In a couple months we'll start charging, but it'll be less than a regular greeting card. And also have a yearly membership, which will be about $20. You can do unlimited, send unlimited Hottygrams to your friends, and there's
great
all
idea.
Kinds of exclusive.
Guys, they're not going to be sending them to their friends. They're going
to
become members and sending them to themselves.
Of course,
100 times a day. Hey, Bob, it's me again.
Haven't sent your message in 45 minutes. Yeah, you're still so hot. I still love you. Well, I think it's an idea whose time has come, and it's awesome that you were able to figure out a way to get in on this because I think this is going to be a big hit. I mean, seriously.
Well, thank you.
It's so much better than a greeting card. It's so much better and so much faster and just so much more fun. And believe me, the video is just long enough that I can use it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow. Now,
you
have to put your stink all over everything.
Why would you even say that?
Why would you say that?
Congratulations. Thank you very much for coming in.
Hottygram.com, HottyGram.com. And it's free for now. But,
yeah.
So get
check
it
out.
While you can.
It's addicting. Warn everybody.
It is.
Spend hours on it.
Have. Yes, that's true.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here.
It's Ralph Garman.
And it's time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. Well, last night's American Idol was the first Ellen DeGeneres judged edition, and it helped it hold on to its ratings juggernaut. 28 million viewers tuned in last night to see how Ellen was as a judge.
Was she good?
What'd you think of her,
Ralph?
She was pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think her tendency, maybe out of nerves and out of being the new kid on the block, is to go first impulse is to go to the joke every time.
I hope. No?
It gets old if you do it every time somebody sings, you know? Eventually, you're going to have to start pitching in and saying some stuff about the actual singing. But overall, I thought she was pretty strong. Like, a girl was sitting up there with bare feet. She's like, oh, put shoes on. Hollywood is a dirty town. It's disgusting. You don't want to walk around in bare feet. So it was that kind of stuff all the time, you know? But I thought she was pretty good. Good batch this year, Kevin. Good crew of singers.
Yeah.
I think you're going to be very pleased when
still
you start watching.
Songs, the originals of which I hate?
Yes.
Are still doing that?
There was that.
Yeah, I'm out.
At least last night, guys started singing songs that other American Idols have recorded. I was like, wow.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, the snake is eating its tail now. Like David Cook, one of the guys who won American Idol, he released a lame-ass song last year.
Oh,
and so one of the guys who was auditioning sang that song.
Oh, no.
And I was like, wow.
No.
It's all come full circle. It is. I mean, it's legitimate, though. Things like Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood, I mean, those are legitimate pop hits from the last 10 years that are up for grabs just like anybody else's songs, I guess.
If they're hits.
It's kind of weird. But even if they're hits and you're competing for the same Grammy that they were, do you want to put yourselves in that comparison at this early in the stage of the game? It is to make them say, well, it didn't sound as good as that other girl we had on this show. It just seems like you would want to go in a different direction, you know? Ralph, I was thinking about this last night. Do they have to pay the rights to those songs that the performers choose to sing on stage, right?
Yeah, they have a list of songs that are approved that you can sing from. Yeah.
Okay. This season so far, there have been a couple of contestants who have sung Cara DeGuardi songs. There was one contestant who sang a song that Simon Cowell had some of the co-writing credit on.
Yeah.
It just seems kind of inky that they're letting that happen on television, and the judges are getting more money than if they sang something else.
Well, I'm glad Simon's making a few bucks on the side. Dude's hurting, you know.
He's got to eat.
At least he can just throw him a bone.
That seems to me like it wouldn't work just because it's so obvious. Like, okay, you're singing one of my songs, great.
Both of the people who did that got in, by the
way.
Yes, trust me, sucking up absolutely works with this crew. Oh, it absolutely does. Huh. Cara DeGuardi, while someone was singing her song, looked at that person like the moon was shining out of their ass. Like it was the most beatific thing she had ever witnessed was someone singing her song. She could not have been damper.
First of all, that song was awesome. Second of all, that song was awesome.
That was a song nobody's ever heard before.
No one can sound bad singing that song. You are so going to Hollywood. Speaking of ratings, Lost did very well for itself, too. It came in number two for the night last night, right behind American Idol. Nothing's going to beat that, but Lost had over 11 million viewers, which is pretty strong.
All right.
Ethan was there last night. Ethan was the baby doctor.
Out of the blue, Ethan.
Out of the blue, Ethan was the baby doctor. See, because when they blew up the hatch, they changed everyone's future, not just their own.
Right.
But yet they're still on the island.
Right.
I don't understand what this is about.
With Kung Fu Temple Master giving people poison.
I like that guy.
He's him. He's a scary dude.
Yeah.
He's got stuff going on.
He has fingerless gloves.
That's true. He does. Jersey lawmakers are pressuring MTV to cancel the second season of Jersey Shore.
What?
Well, Jersey Shore has been under fire from Italian-American groups.
Right.
Since even before it aired, the Italian-American organization Unico National and other Italian-American groups have been attacking the show as wildly offensive, but this is the first time that lawmakers have gotten involved. The New Jersey Italian-American Legislative Caucus, which is made up of Italian-American New Jersey legislators.
Of which there are many.
Of which there are many.
Yeah.
Have drafted a letter and sent it off to the president of Viacom, MTV's parent company, asking that the show be immediately taken off the air and plans for a second season be scrapped.
Good. I'd like to see our government get into what's on the air and what's not.
With all the problems, first thing we have to solve is this Jersey Shore issue.
Come on.
And by the way, I'm so glad you brought up this story, Ralph, because a lot of people lose sight of the fact that that's what makes this country great, is if you have a difference of opinion about what somebody else says or does, you should try to restrict that from being said or done.
You should make it illegal.
Make it illegal. Don't let other people have access to things that you don't agree with. That's the important thing about America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, are there no unemployed people in New Jersey right now? They got all the problems solved in New
Jersey?
No
homeless, no hungry.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, everything's great.
It's like Kenneth Branagh's character in Pirate Radio.
Yes.
He says, that's the good thing about being in government. You can make things that annoy you illegal.
Yeah.
Speaking of annoying, Russell Brand.
Yeah.
The bloom may be off the rose for his romance with Katy Perry. Apparently she is discovering that although he may be charming and funny, he doesn't have an off switch.
Oh, that's
rough. Which isn't always that much fun.
No off switch is rough.
Yeah. Apparently, she's trying to make wedding plans, but she tells friends that she can't get a straight answer out of him. Everything's a gag. Everything's a funny joke, a wacky answer, a kooky saying.
Yeah.
And she says he is turning the entire production into a joke, and she's getting a little fed up with his wife.
She has such big boobs.
Yeah.
We tried to warn her, didn't we?
We sure did.
We really tried.
She didn't listen. You listen to us.
Hmm.
You guys think they'll get married?
Yes. For how long? I can't tell you.
All right.
And here's good news from my man, Kevin.
Yes.
20th Century Fox has announced they're moving forward with the plans to make a big screen, big budget 24 movie.
That's what I'm talking about.
The studio has hired screenwriter Billy Ray, who wrote Shattered Glass and State of Play, to write the project. It's based on a storyline that he reportedly pitched himself to Fox. He had an idea for a 24 movie, and they loved it. So they're going forward. However, they say the film version may be contingent on a couple key factors, including whether or not 24 returns for a ninth season on Fox after this one, and what the plans are for the future, because they have to keep it within continuity of what's happening on the show as well. So we'll have to wait and see. But they say as soon as it goes off TV, the big budget movie version goes into the works.
Oh, I see. So they're waiting for it to go off TV.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're going to wait this season. And also, the script has to be adjusted every time a new season comes along, because it will be part of the continuity of what's happening on the show. So,
but obviously they won't adhere to the 24-hour format unless it's going to be a very long movie.
No, it's going to be a very long film.
12 hours, intermission, another 12 hours.
Wow.
All right, I like it.
Yeah. It'd be cool if they put out a two-hour movie every month.
Yes, it would.
You'd go and you'd see the next installment, and you'd go back in February, and then March, and then by Christmas, you've seen the whole day.
The following takes place between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. and 11 a.m. Right. and 10 a.m. Yeah. and 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. 12 p.m. and 3 a.m.
But how can... Honked up day.
Yeah, it really is.
Kiefer must have had a couple scotches on that day. Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Wagner. Kevin loves him, especially his old 60s series, It Takes a Thief. Can't get enough of it.
Not familiar with, don't care.
Laura Dern is 43 years
Who's
old
her
today.
Mom?
Her mom is Diane Ladd, the very talented actress Diane Ladd. Her dad, Bruce Dern, an equally talented actor. She comes from a family of just pure genius when it comes to acting. That's why she's so good. Remember Laura Dern in Recount?
No.
Yes.
The movie
yes.
on HBO about the hanging chads down there in Florida with Kevin Spacey?
You see that.
She was Catherine Harris, the Florida Secretary of State.
She was.
Blue
she was
Velvet.
Great in that. Blue Velvet. Great in that.
Amazing. Wild at Heart.
Elizabeth Banks, speaking of great actresses, she is 36 years old today and just could not be more adorable.
Yeah, in the porn adorable.
Yeah!
That's what I'd tweet if I just said that to myself. And Emma Roberts from Nancy Drew and other feature films. She is 19 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I rock the show.
Thank you, Ralph. It's the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We are going to give away some more tickets to the Kevin and Bean Last Call Singles Party.
Ooga!
Of course, we're running out of time because that is Friday night. And we have comedian Sarah Silverman on the program. And I've seen the first episode of her new season, and it is more honked up by 10 times than anything I've ever
How
seen
is
from
that
her before.
Possible?
It's awesome, and I'm scared of her.
Sarah plays by her own rules.
She does. That's very... She makes a TV show like she's never seen any other TV show in her life.
Yeah.
And that's why I
hope the aliens aren't watching.
Yeah, well, if that's the one they get, we're all honked up. So anyway, that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including a new one from Breaking Benjamin. Also, stick around for Blink-182. We got some Phoenix, Incubus, Beastie Boys, and more straight ahead after this on K-Rock.